Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Listen was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Wish I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luckman, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your boy, Kelly Mike, coming at you with a hot new episode of CMT Firestorm, where we bring you the best, brightest, and boldest everything to do with the world of football. We pretty much talk about everything on this show. We just bring you raw, uncut, unedited coverage of everything with completely biased and objective opinions that we know y'all love to hear. So let's get things cracking. The call number is 347-238-5539. Let's get it going. We got my boy with me, coming out of the great volunteer state of Tennessee. Tony Watt, what's going on, man?
I cannot stop laughing every time you say that. What's up,
right,
man? How you feeling? And
it's right. That's where it's you represent, right? Tennessee, right?
Look, that is where I was born and raised. I am a Florida Gator. I need you to understand.
Let me ask you a question, because I usually designate the most country places I've ever been as Memphis, Tennessee, Belgrade, Florida, and Columbia, South Carolina. Have you been to either one? Like I said, have you been to Belgrade?
I've been to all of them.
And what do you think about that assessment? Truthfully.
Truthfully, Memphis is not country.
What?
Memphis is not, compared to where I grew up, Memphis is big city. You would be surprised.
Okay, well,
Columbia is not country. Columbia is not country.
You don't think Columbia is country?
No, Columbia is not country. Belgrade for Florida is country. For Florida. Now, for Florida, Belgrade is country, but it still ain't country. You ain't, none of them three would be considered country in the country. Those are cities.
I've talked to people from Memphis, and I couldn't even understand what they were saying. And like I said, I lived in the South, and it was literally like they talk like this, shouting, "Come on!" And they were saying so much, and I just couldn't even understand what they were saying.
Now the one thing about being raised in the South is a lot of us have that Southern twang. We talk through our noses, so that's why we talk so high. That's why our pitch is so high in our voices, is because we talk through our noses versus talking out of our stomachs.
Okay.
And that, you know, it is the way you were raised, and you talk the way you hear other people talk because you think that's the right way to do it. And even once you hit puberty, like for a guy, even once you hit puberty, a lot of times because you're talking through your nose versus talking from your stomach, you still have that high pitch to your voice. So, you know, it is a regional thing. I mean, it's not always a regional thing because you have people up north and out west that do the same things. But
well, yeah, because, you know, like I said, you know, when I was out there, people always tell – they always tell me I have a, you know, they could tell me I'm from California because I guess they would say that I sound a lot like, or so they would, I don't know, they would do this crazy accent and try to, I guess, like we say our R's different or something they were saying California people would do. And I'm like, I don't think that I do that. But, you know, like, I, you know, so I guess it is kind of, you know, where you're from. And
yeah,
and
California people tend to enunciate their R's clearly, let's say that. Like, for example, in the South, we might say it's a river, whereas California people would say it's a river, as in making sure we understand that R.
It also could do with the large Spanish population out here, too, you know, because the Spanish, you know, they roll their R's and they pronounce their R's really you know, really well. You know, we got a lot of essays out here, so, you know,
right,
kind of, you know, following the suit. But we'll get more into, I want to get more into that dialect later when we get Clausel on. I want to talk about his boy and the video that he released. You know, I want to talk about, you know, the way perceptions of people from the South, because to be truthful, I kind of had that too. My family's from the South. My family's from Mississippi. Well, they're from Mississippi and Texas. My dad's side's from Mississippi. My mom's side's from Texas. And, you know, so like I said, from being out here, you know, pretty much only my grandfather kind of speaks with that accent and his, you know, and his family. But, you know, like I said, when I got to Florida, I kind of had that perception of people. And then, you know, when I started meeting folks like Clausel who talked a certain way, but I knew they were intelligent, I was like, oh, okay, I got to lose that. But anyway, we're going to talk about it later. Like I said, Jameis Winston, he released a video. And we'll get into that a little bit later. What I want to start off with right now is what we ended with on last show, and we both posted. I don't know if it was you. I posted information. Matt posted information on the CMT page, and he even posted a list he made up from the Cold Hard Truth on Sports page about the All-Pro players and where the pros are coming from. And a lot of the guys made the point of the highest ratio of players was coming from Louisiana. And I didn't want to get my point misconstrued. Like I said, I know, you know, that there are a lot higher ratio places. But what I wanted to say about Florida is football, okay, when you go in football, you look for your skill positions. You know, like I said,
You're already breaking it down.
Because like I said on the show, and nobody, okay, when is the last great quarterback from Florida that you've ever heard of?
But see, you're already trying to break it down and categorize it instead of just taking football as a whole. Take football as a whole and give the result.
Okay, but I'm saying, like I said, quarterbacks. I mean, when's the last time? Who's a great wide? I mean, okay, like I said, running backs, maybe. Yeah, okay, Florida. Like I said, who are they producing? That's what I'm trying to say. Okay.
You're trying to break it down.
I'll let you answer. Who is the best football player from Florida right now that we can say?
What do you mean? High school, college, or pros?
Anyone. You could choose anyone. I just want to know who do you think?
Well, oh, wow.
I haven't kept up with the
high school football in Florida because, like you said, I'm from Tennessee, So as far as high school football, I haven't really
kept up with it. Who's the best NFL player from Florida?
The overall best NFL player from Florida?
Yes.
Just overall best NFL player from Florida. You mean like born and raised in Florida or went to a Florida college? There's a difference.
He born and raised in Florida. College is different, but born and raised in Florida. Who's the best product from the state of Florida?
Oh, I have – oh, my goodness. That can be so many different people.
No, I don't think
born and raised. You know what? I can't even narrow that down because my mind is going in 50 different directions. Didn't Jadeveon Clowney come from Florida?
Hell no. He came from South Carolina.
No, I mean, I know he went to school in South Carolina. I'm saying born and raised.
Yes, he went to school right. He went to school right where he's from.
Is he? Did he? I thought it was. It may have not been Clowney. It was somebody else. I'm trying to think.
I think Sammy Watkins might be from Florida. I think. I'm not that sure. I think he might be from Florida. But I mean, even then, like I don't know. Like I say, it's just like I said. I know Florida puts out the talent. I'm not trying to doubt that they don't put out the talent. But I'm saying when you look at the top players, which is like why I put the pro, which is why I put the all pro list on there. It's like where are all these Florida? You know, when you say that Florida has the best football players, and then you put up the all pro list, and maybe only two of them are from Florida, if two. You know, to me that says something.
Okay, but
saying,
again,
you're putting out athletes as opposed to football players.
Again, are we talking current players? I mean,
I'm talking about right now.
Okay. Geno Atkins. Great player.
I thought he was from Georgia or something.
No. Geno Atkins is from Florida.
Okay. Geno Atkins. Is Geno Atkins, is he a top five NFL player?
I would put him there. As far as defensive linemen, yes. I would put Geno Atkins in the top five at his position anyway, without a doubt.
Okay. Yeah, I can go with that. Like I said, I don't know if Geno Atkins is really from Florida. You might have made that up. But I can go with that. But what I'm trying to say is, like I say, when you look at Texas, I can go, okay, Texas, running backs, Adrian Peterson, the number one back in the league. You know, you look at, like I say, even you look at your boy, well, he's a volunteer, but Peyton Manning, Louisiana, quarterback, you know, Drew Brees, Texas, you know, Aaron Rodgers, California. It's got, you know, but I mean, it's just, like I say, Florida puts out the talent, but it just doesn't add up to all the hype that they put on the state of Florida. That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know now. I cannot agree with you there because we put out so much talent that it spreads across the gamut. We don't just put out quarterbacks. We don't just put out running backs. We don't just put out defensive players. We put out across the gamut the best players in the NFL.
Well, I'm saying, I think Florida puts out the best athletes, but I'm saying I don't think they put out the best football players.
Okay. Anquan Boldin, you got to consider him one of the top receivers in the NFL, no?
Maybe 3 or 4 years ago, but not right now.
Okay, that's Florida bred. I'm trying. My mind is really moving slow. I'm just sorry. So as I'm sitting here trying to think of them, I'm trying, like, Kansas City, what's the guy's name, receiver? Dwayne Bowe. He's pretty good right now in the NFL. I mean, he ain't living up to expectations, But he's pretty good.
He's from Louisiana, no. Ain't he?
He's from Florida. Dwayne Bo is from Florida. Matter of fact, Dwayne Bo is from South Florida. I don't know where. I can't say Miami, but I know it's below Tampa.
Okay,
yeah.
Dwayne. Well, like I say, Dwayne Bo, I mean, he's good, but, okay, no, yeah, you're right, I just looked it up, he's from Miami. I mean, he's like, okay, like I said, let me go and pull up this list that I pulled up. This is the all-pro team. Peyton Manning, LeSean McCoy.
Okay, but see, come on. The all-pro team is one and two players from each position out of the entire NFL. That's not being fair to everybody. We're talking about pros in the NFL.
That's what I'm saying. Like I said, you're not getting me. I'm not saying that Florida isn't putting out the talent. I'm talking about the best football players.
Okay, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown in fantasy football last year had to be one of the top fantasy football players. Now, Antonio Brown, the receiver from Pittsburgh.
Nah, dude, I don't know who that dude is. He's not very good.
Come on now. You know who Antonio Brown is.
I mean, dude, like I said, they put out the talent, but when you start looking at where these top players are coming from, it's not Florida. I'm telling you.
I don't agree. I'm telling you, if top to bottom, the state of Florida is putting out the best talent in the nation.
But looking at the
players. No, fans
are. That's what I'm saying. We're looking. Why can't this? Is what I'm saying. Everybody, why can't we just look at the stats and see where it adds up and see that it doesn't add up?
What do you mean stats? Why can't you just look at the numbers? Stop looking at statistics.
That's what I'm doing. Okay, let's look. Okay, so it's agreed we're going to look at the numbers. Agreed. Okay. I'm looking at the all-pro list through quarterbacks, running backs, fullbacks.
No, you're looking at the numbers as far as all-pros. I'm talking about all professionals, not all pro as in the best ones. Look at the numbers as far as number of people.
All professional is all pro.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant all pro as going to the pro game, pro football.
No,
yeah,
like
you know what I mean
by Florida. Like I say, Florida puts out a lot of talent. I'm not doubting that. But I'm talking about when you talk about the best players, everybody says the best players come from Florida. And I say, no, they don't. I say they come from, like I say, besides coming from Florida, I'm saying they come from, like I say, I'm looking at it right now. Through the whole all-pro offensive team, you're right, Antonio Brown, he did make second team all-pro.
Okay, but, see, again, you're talking all-pro as in going to the all-pro bowl. I'm talking all-professional as in making it to the NFL. There is a difference between all-pro and professional.
Well,
look at the numbers as far as how many professional football players come from the state of Florida.
At both the first and second team All-Pro, Antonio Brown is the only player from Florida on those teams. Would you believe that?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. You have fell and bumped your head.
Would you believe it, yes or no?
No, I wouldn't believe that.
So if I were to prove to you that that's true, would you say that the best talent does not come from the state of Florida?
I still wouldn't believe you, and I still wouldn't agree with you because that is crazy.
I'm looking. Okay, we got the all-pro list here right in front of us. I can name the players from you. Antonio Brown is the only one from the state of Florida, I'm telling you, but on offense.
The thing is, I can't name all of the players.
No, I can. That's what I'm telling you. I can. I have the list from you. That's what I'm telling you. I have the list right here. Alex Mack, Ryan Khalil, they're both from California.
No.
Logan Mankin, also from California. Josh Stitton, Luis Vasquez, Evan Mathis, Tyron Smith, California. Joe Staley, Joe Thomas, Jason Peters, Demaryius Thomas. Well, hold on. Maybe he's from Florida. Let me look and see. I want to make sure I don't say anything.
You're trying too hard.
You're
trying too hard.
AJ Green is from, I believe he's from Georgia too. No, he's from South Carolina. Okay, wow. Okay. Yep, Antonio Brown, Florida. Let's see. Mike Tolbert, Marcel Reese, California. LeSean McCoy, Pennsylvania.
All-pro team. I'm saying you got to look at all professional players, not the all-pro team.
So there's one player from the state of Florida on the all-pro first on the all-pro team. Period. First, second, and third. Only one player from the state of Florida.
You're really missing this, aren't you?
How is this a reach? Okay, hold on. Hold on one second. Our number to call in is 347-237-5539. I'm bringing some callers in. I'm bringing this caller from the 914. Hey, what's going on? You're on with CMT Firestorm.
What's going on, fellas? It's Eric. You guys talking about the Florida, the talent in Florida. I mean, to me, I think Florida definitely has the best overall talent. You know, I mean,
Eric,
if you want to...
Hold on, Eric. Now, I got the list here.
Eric, he's trying to fudge the numbers, dude.
Let's look at, okay, if you're talking about all-pro players, you're talking about 2013 all-pro players, let's look at for the last decade. Don't just use 2013. Let's use a bigger sample size. Let's go from 2000. Yeah, let's go from 2000 to at least like 2012. How many players were on the all-pro team from Florida? I mean, from the state of Florida. I'm sure that there were more players than there are in 2013. And then on top of that, you have to look at just everybody in the NFL. I mean, you just can't take a stand.
Like I say, this is what I'm saying, and you just now said it. I'm not saying that Florida doesn't put out talent, but you just said that the best players come from Florida, and I just proved, I'm talking about the best, not talent. Like I say, Florida puts out talent,
goodness.
Probably the most talent. You understand the difference what I'm saying?
I understand
so
what you're
saying.
I know.
That means
the best player.
That means a pro. That means all pro.
Right, and you're talking about for 2013. You're talking about for 2000. But let's look at the all-pro teams from like 2008 or 2009.
It's not going to change. I can guarantee you it's not going to change.
I would like to see. I mean, I can't say. I don't know. I can't remember what the all-pro team was from 2009 or 2007.
Okay, well,
but
he's putting us on the spot like we're computers or something. We don't know that stuff right off the top of our heads.
We all have computers in front of us. Okay, you just now said 2008. That's the year you picked. I'm looking at quarterbacks, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, running back, Adrian Peterson, Michael Turner, Clint Portis. Okay, I think Portis is from Florida. Or no, he's from, is he from Florida, Louisiana?
Portis is from Gainesville.
He's from Mississippi. I'm looking at it right here.
Clinton Portis?
Yes.
He's from Gainesville, Florida.
He went to Gainesville High School, but he's from Mississippi. I'm looking at it right here. He's from Laurel, Mississippi.
Well, that might be where he born, but he was raised in Gainesville, Florida. You can't tell me that. I went to Gainesville, so I was there when Portis was there.
He went to Gainesville High School, but I'm just telling you what it says here under his bio. It says he's from Mississippi. But like I said, okay, I'll give you Portis. That's one. Let's see. Andre Johnson, that's two. Tony Gonzalez, Jason Witten, Steve Smith, Wes Walker, Larry Fitzgerald, no. Steve Hutchinson, okay. Out of the first and second teams, you got Clinton Portis and Andre Johnson are the only players from Florida from 2008.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
I can put it up on the CMT page. Hold on. No, yeah, Walter Jones from Alabama. I thought he was from Florida, but yeah, nope, yep.
I think another thing you got to look at, too, is that a lot of these players, I mean, like you said, Clinton Portis is from Mississippi originally, but he went to Gainesville High School. You also have to take into account a lot of these players know that Florida is a football hotbed, and a lot of them transplant themselves to Florida as well. I mean, for better opportunity and, you know, just the ability to be seen.
Like I said, I'm giving you Clint. I'll give you the players that went to high school in Florida. I'm giving you those dudes. And out of all those dudes, I'm telling you, I'm looking. I can post a list on the CMT page right now out of all those dudes, the first and second team is Clinton Porter. I'm giving you Andre Johnson. I don't know where he's really from. Let me see. Okay, yeah, he's from Miami. Yeah, Clinton Portis and Andre Johnson.
There's more than that. I really wish I had my, because I don't have a computer, like, right in front of me right now. But what you're doing right now is you're nitpicking because you don't want to look at it as a whole. If you look at it as a whole, Florida is producing more NFL talent.
That's not fair. That's not fair, man. When I prove a point, then you're going to say I'm nitpicking. Eric picked the year, right, Eric? I didn't pick 2008. You picked it, right?
No, I picked 2008.
I picked 2008. And I just proved it.
I said in total. In total, can we look at quantities? Quantity. The state of Florida producing NFL players. Quantity.
And I'm admitting I gave you that point. I've already admitted that. But when you're talking about the best players, best means the top players, right?
No, best means made it to the NFL.
That's not what we're talking about. When you say,
yes,
oh,
that
man.
Is. You have to be the best players in America to make it
how
to the
are you
NFL.
You be with definition that I'm making. I made the definition.
Because you're isolating players. Your definition so that we can't be right. That's what you're trying to do.
Players?
But the best players are the ones that make it to the NFL. They are the elite players in football, and the state of Florida produces more of them than you want to admit.
Dude, I just admitted that they produce the most talent, but when you get down to the best players, they don't produce the best players. How many times do I have to say that? Hold on, Eric. I'm going to put you on hold on. Bring in another caller real quick. Got another 813 on it. Is this Clavel, 813?
It's Matt, y'all. How are y'all doing tonight?
Oh, okay.
Oh, hey, what's going on, Matt?
Oh, no, the Nebraska guy's going to come on
right.
to destroy our whole Florida thing, right?
I think we got Tex on here, too. What's going on, Tex? You on here?
Clausel's on here,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Hey,
now,
listen.
Now, look, you guys,
listen.
Hold on. Before we get into a fiasco, I just want to say, clarify my point once again, and I think I've proved it. Florida puts out athletic talent, but when you look at the top players, they're not coming from the state of Florida. Not at least not like how you guys try to say it when y'all say the best players are from Florida. And I think I've proven that. What more do I need to do?
You have it.
Oh, and, man.
And
what
Kelly,
more do
Kelly
I need
Mike,
to do?
I agree with you. I agree with you. And that's the funny thing is these SEC guys seem to want to – they get stuck in their
oh, my
mind. Hold on. So just let me say something real quick. That's my one knock at the SEC. You know, every show I have to take a shot at the SEC. That was my one, you know, shot at the SEC for tonight. But what he's saying is actually correct. And by the way, you forgot Levante David for 2013.
Well, yeah, I just did offense. I didn't look at the defense. I did offense.
He's from Miami,
okay.
He's from Miami.
Patrick yeah, Central. Peterson. He went to Central Florida. High School. He grew up in Miami. He went to, you know, he was part of what's his name? His football program. But I can't remember the rapper. Can't remember his name now.
Pat Peterson
anyway.
Is from Florida too.
Yeah. And anyways, but yeah, what you're saying is, and me, and this is kind of the argument that me and Tex actually end up having when we talk about college players, is, you know, I talk about how many wins you're going to get out of a college team. That makes a good team. He's talking about how much talent they put in the NFL. And then, by the way, Tex highlights that it's not just players you get to the NFL, because Nebraska puts guys in the NFL. They just don't translate to a
league. Oh, my God, here we go.
Wait. They don't translate in the NFL well. So just because you get into the NFL doesn't make you the best of the best. Yeah, you got to
exactly.
the NFL. You're the best of all the college players. You're the best of
exactly.
all the players in the world, but there's an upper echelon of those. There's the pro bowlers, and there's no all-pro bowl, by the way. It's all-pro is a different, higher level of achievement that is voted on by the AP that looks over all the players within the league, pro bowlers or not. You can be all-pro and not make the pro bowl. Levante David was a good example of that last year. He was probably hands down the best one, the best. I think one of, I'll put him top three right now. I guarantee you, top three in the NFL as far as a linebacker at his position, his top three, without any argument. But all pro is a different level. So what he's looking at, the best of the best within the NFL, how many of those are from the state of Florida? And what he's saying is the state of Florida translates to the NFL, just like SEC players, like Alabama players. They translate well to the NFL, but you don't see them performing at a high level other than Julio Jones. So that's kind of
Marcel Darius is not performing at a high level.
Yeah,
is he all pro?
Yeah, he was a pro.
Is he all pro? We're talking about he was one time pro.
He was one or two Nebraska players all pro. I mean, what is that? I mean,
I'm not talking about Nebraska. It's not about Nebraska.
The Dominican is better than Marcel Darius, Clausel. You know that, right?
Yeah, so is.
He
eat him for lunch.
The Dominican Sioux, he's better than Marcel Darius. He's from Nebraska, ain't he?
You know he is.
No, he's from Portland, Oregon, actually. By way of Africa.
Yeah. Well, he went
by
to
way of Africa.
By
come
way
on,
of Africa.
He's better than Alabama's best players. How you like
are you
that?
Gonna, next thing you know, you're gonna hear 5% of Rasta Fire shit. Let's come on, man. Let's stick to the facts.
No, they went to school.
Okay, and I'm looking at I just now went over the defensive side. Levante David and it looks like Pat Peterson. Man, is Robert Mathis? Yeah, no, Levante
come
Davis.
On.
Pat only players on the defensive side, too. So
Robert Mathis went to Alabama A&M. He's from Alabama.
Who?
Robert Mathis went to Alabama A&M.
Yeah, no.
We're talking born in Florida.
Oh, born in Florida.
That's three players out of the whole all-pro team from Florida.
Okay.
So yet they produce the best talent, right?
Well, I mean, the majority of the players in the NFL are from the state of Florida.
And Tex actually put up an article earlier this week, and Florida can't even claim that they put out the most NFL talent. Actually, Louisiana puts out the most NFL talent per capita.
Louisiana
is the top.
And who's number two? Who's number two?
I don't remember.
Louisiana was number
two.
No, Louisiana was number two. Louisiana was number two.
Who's number one, Tex?
I have to look it up again, but Louisiana was number two. But still, that's impressive considering it's Louisiana. That's impressive.
Louisiana.
I mean, look at Peyton Manning, and they put out a lot of guys. You know, I mean,
Louisiana's number one. Alabama's
Ed
number
Reed,
four.
Talking about this year, or are we talking about in the history of the NFL? I mean, keep narrowing down your search to the point
of
where it's very specific.
Are you trying to make another 15-year bet, Wally?
Out of text. It's currently Louisiana is number one per capita. South Carolina is number two.
Right. They're not two. I thought they were number two.
No, Louisiana is number one. South Carolina is number two. Mississippi is number three. And Alabama is number four. And Florida is number five. Florida's number five. California's not even in the top 10.
California got 40 million
really
people.
Yeah, but per capita, you don't produce the
Florida,
most NFL.
Florida
talent.
Has 44 million.
Yeah, and they're number four, and they're number five per capita.
Yeah, they put out a lot of talent, and they had four in the draft this last year. No, eight. There was eight in the top five.
Well, I know in the draft this past year, St. Thomas Aquinas and Miami Central,
those were the two big ones. There was eight between
the
two, I think.
Here's the thing. Florida had 44 players drafted in 2014. California had 35. Texas had 24. Georgia, 17. Ohio, 11. Louisiana.
Okay, but you're talking right now, this year. We're talking in the NFL.
Let me get some
history.
I'm just talking about 2014 now. States with double digit players drafted. Florida leads in those. Wait a second. States with most NFL players drafted in 2014 per capita is Florida, Louisiana, Georgia, South Carolina, and D.C. That's what it is in 2014. Now,
again, Florida,
I think
number one.
I think this is, you know, we sit here and we're talking about Mike. We're talking about Pro Bowlers and how many Pro Bowlers came from Florida. I look at prospects. And to be honest with you, you know, the best NFL players come from, I mean, they come from everywhere. You know, Terrell Owens comes from Tennessee Chattanooga. Randy Moss comes from
Alabama. Terrell Owens is from Alabama.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying they come from everywhere. Moss is from West Virginia. Rand. Where's Jerry Rice from? Mississippi. Well, who's...
The whole where you're from, where you're born and where you were raised are two different things, so that you consider yourself from a certain place. Just because I was born in Tennessee, if I was raised and went to high school in Florida, I consider myself from Florida. But my birth certificate says I'm from Tennessee.
But this is the way, I'm not really talking about where the best players are from. I'm really trying to harp on where the best talent comes from, and that's Florida, Texas, and California, hands down. I mean, everybody is trying to get into Florida. You have to understand. When we want to go recruit, we want to build a national power, we have to get into South Florida, not Texas, not anywhere else. We have to get into South Florida. And then guess what? We better be trying to get into Louisiana too. That's real. That's really kind of what it comes down to. The best, the players in the NFL come in, it's just a melting pot. They come from anywhere. No, not everybody in Florida pans out. Not everybody from California, Texas pans out. Cali, Texas all put nice players in the league. So does Florida. So they come from everywhere. But you're just talking about prospects. You're talking about players. You're talking about overall talent. It is Florida. And Texas guys would like to disagree, but it's Florida. And then when you get into colleges, I mean, you want to talk about just players getting drafted? The SEC smashes on people. They smash on people. They smash on other conferences when it comes to sending other guys in the NFL. And that's what we're talking about. I'm not talking about all pros because, you know, Drew Brees went to Purdue, Aaron Rodgers goes to Cal.
We can't go by when you talk about going by SEC. First of all, SEC is the largest conference in the country. They always have been. So by definition, they're going to have more players in the NFL. They got 16.
Well, Mike,
that's not true.
Mike, you got schools. You got schools.
That is not true.
You got schools like Georgia and LSU getting 10, 11 players drafted in any.
And they got the most football schools.
Yeah, but
people know when you want to play football school. Hold on, people know when you want to go to a football school, you're going to go to the SEC. When you want to go to a basketball school, you're going to go to North Carolina or Duke. So let's not act like that has anything to do with the talent of the area or anything like that. That has something to do more of the culture of the schools and the culture
of the area.
Football. And so hold on. So the fact that they're the largest conference doesn't have anything to do with how many players they put in the NFL, though?
No, I don't think it does. No. No.
Okay.
I think SEC has the best quality players. It's not the fact that they're a largest conference, and they're not a large. It's not like they have 20
well, like
teams
I said,
in the entire conference. Has
before
10.
We switch, before, hold up, before we switch this conversation in the SEC,
I'm not switching it.
It wasn't even what we're talking about anyway. By the way,
all right, my bad.
We're talking about the state of Florida putting out the best talent, and like I say, that has not been proven to me. We're looking at the best players. We're talking about the best players. Like I said, I'm not doubting that Florida doesn't put out. I'm posting up on the page right now. We're all the breakdown of the players by state too. It's California number one, Florida number two, Texas number three. I'm putting that on the CMT page too. I don't know. I guess I made this up too, But anyway, like I said, it has not been proven to me. And we're look, like I said, we're not going by pro, but we're going by the all pro list. And
I mean,
three
but there's only
22
players
on
the. There's only 22 players on the all pro list. All right,
and there's
the
three
pro players.
Okay, hold on. Okay, there's 22.
I mean, goodness,
22, well, actually,
man.
There's more than 22 because there's a first. Hold on, There's more than 22 because there's a first and second team. But like I said, if we're going by
44.
Okay, and three of those players are from Florida. Three
but
out of 44.
But there's over 1,000 players in the league. There's over 1,000 players in the league.
Huge. Okay, we're not talking about the best players, though. You're not listening. We're talking about the best players.
Can you
I just posted on the CMT Firestorm top football page the where every active NFL player went to high school. You got to realize where they were born and where they went to school are not always the same thing. And the top three is always the top three, California, Texas, and Florida. Those are the top three places that are producing high school football athletes that end up in the NFL.
Agreed.
And Tex, I agree with what Tex was saying, but and I know you got to go into Louisiana, but you got to give Alabama their props too. I'm not saying they're good as Florida or Texas, but Alabama has some talent in there too because you got to look at the last five national championship games, who's been in there. So
what?
That says something right there. What?
Name me the top player from Alabama in the league right now. Name me the top three players.
We got Julio, Marcel Darius. Terrell Owens is a Hall of Famer. You talking about right now or throughout history? Terrell Owens is a Hall of Famer. What I'm saying is you can't
okay.
Alabama has talent too.
Dude,
Terrell Owens claims Tennessee is his home. Terrell Owens does not claim Alabama as his home.
I've never heard him talk about Alabama.
That's not true, Wiley. You're lying, Wiley.
That is true. Terrell Owens says he was.
I've never heard Terrell Owens say anything about Alabama, ever.
He is
from Alabama.
He may have born in Alabama, but he claims Tennessee as his home.
He was born and raised in Alabama. His family still lives in Alabama. I mean, what
is he claims Tennessee as his home.
He went to college in Tennessee. You are crazy, Wiley. He went to college in Tennessee.
Hey,
okay,
his family lives right next door to Clausell's Uncle Willie in Alabama.
I wouldn't be surprised.
and you just mentioned Alabama. Look at where those players are from. Trent Richardson
hey,
from
this.
Florida.
Alabama right there.
All y'all
that's
players
like,
are from
saying,
other states,
that's
so
like
those
saying,
players
okay,
are not coming
saying,
from Alabama.
Hold on, let me tell you something. Pensacola is like saying Corpus Christi and you're not from Mexico or something like that. It's that close to Alabama, all right?
What?
Or El Paso. Or El
so
Paso,
now y'all
are you're
just,
in Mexico.
So now y'all are just going to take Pensacola.
Y'all going to take
a whole city, huh? Y'all going to take
yeah,
the whole
like
panhandle?
If you're born in, I look at it like this. If you're born in El Paso, I look at you as Mexican, to be frankly honest with you.
So people from Pensacola, Alabama?
It's damn near close to it, yeah, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
It's damn near close to it, pretty much.
My goodness.
Wow. So you're from Pensacola, Florida, Alabama, right?
But your city, he probably was born in Alabama, but he was raised right in the hospital probably in Alabama because the city's right on the border. The city's right on the border of the state.
So does the people from Pensacola get to claim the people from Mobile?
I don't even care about it. I was kind of joking anyway. But the point is, if
Clausell does, Clausell will say something crazy, and then if it doesn't go, he'll say it's a joke. But if somebody would agree with that, he would continue.
I didn't say that. My point is,
he's been doing this for years now. Somebody would agree. He would start going, yeah, Pensacola, yeah.
I know you guys don't want to give the state of Alabama their props, but you got to, man, because just the fact that we've been in the last five national championship games, it says that there's talent.
Yes,
all of your players don't come from the state of Alabama.
The majority of them do, though. The majority of them
no,
do.
No, they don't.
Oh,
the majority of them
come
do.
On.
Yes, they
majority
do. That's my point, Clausell. The majority of good players from your team do not come from Alabama. They come from other states.
AJ McCarron's not from Alabama?
Talent comes from everywhere. That's the main point of what I want to say. It's no one place where they just make football players and they're just better just because they're from that place. Basically, that's what I was trying to say.
Anyway, whatever, that's a lie. That is not what you were trying to say.
Yes, it is. But anyway,
no,
okay,
really.
I want to move on from that. I want to talk about everybody on here. On Colin Cowherd earlier, they were talking about Colin Kaepernick's contract. And Andy Dalton is in talks for his contract, too. And apparently he thinks that he deserves a Colin Kaepernick contract. And there are those that are against that. And I know we got people on here who are in favor of Andy Dalton. I know we got people on here who are not in favor of Andy Dalton. So I want to know, what's your guys' opinion? Where do you guys pay Andy Dalton? People were saying that he's Joe Flacco and he should get Joe Flacco money. I mean, where do you guys put Andy Dalton? I don't have a
win the money, damn, win the damn AFC North and then talk to me.
He has one.
So what do you guys think? In the AFC North,
and then talk to me. Until you win the AFC North, I don't want to hear that about being no top nothing.
AFC North, then talk to me. Bengals have won the NFC North last 3 years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just that they didn't win the AFC North last 3 years.
Ever since Dalton came into the league, they've won the AFC North.
Yep.
No, they didn't win the AFC North the year. Wait a minute, they didn't win the year. Baltimore won the Super Bowl.
They won the AFC North ever since Dalton came into the NFL.
That is not true.
In 2012, they tied with Baltimore.
That is not true.
It is. It's true.
That is not true for a while.
Where do you guys put Dalton?
I mean, where do you? I don't think he's an elite quarterback. I don't think you can pay him Colin Kaepernick kind of money. Quarterbacks are at a premium right now. So I mean, let me correct myself real quick.
They won in 2009 and 2013. My bad. That was Carson Palmer's last year, and that was 2009 was Carson Palmer's last year. 2013 was his first year, but they've been to the playoffs three straight.
I didn't say playoffs. I said win the AFC North.
And they have.
They
have.
They have not.
You just got to say they won it this year. He's been there for at least 3 or 4 years, and they have not won the AFC North.
Tony, I'm looking at it. 2013, they did win it. They won it this past year. They did.
Okay, he won it this past year, but this was not his first year in the damn league.
Yeah, but they didn't win it.
Baltimore in 2012, they tied with them.
No, Baltimore was the division winner in 2012. I don't care what their record said. Baltimore won the division in 2012.
Okay.
Baltimore won the division.
Cincinnati won it this year. You said they've never won it, and they won it this year, so that's false.
What I'm saying to you is, since Andy Dalton's been there for the last 4 years, they've won it one time, and it was this year when Pittsburgh and Baltimore both had bad years.
That's the only reason he doesn't deserve
Kaepernick money just because he's won one division title in his 4 years as a quarterback.
Here's the thing. Yeah, I mean, folks think Kaepernick's money is just so rich. In with just, you know, the spoils of the riches or something. That's basically a 2-year, $28 million contract.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
I can't believe y'all trying to tell me what the AFC North is when I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. I know the AFC North.
You just did. They just won the division.
Kaepernick's contract is kind of like a new version of that old Ricky Williams contract, you know, where you got to hit hell of incentives to get your, you know, to actually get any money. Remember that contract that Master P made for Ricky Williams, and he mangled him because he got injured and he barely got paid. Remember? And like, but if he would have hit all of his incentives, he would have got like $50 million. Isn't that kind of that kind of contract?
Again, Andy Dalton does not deserve shit. Just because you win the AFC North when all the other teams in the AFC North are having issues with health and players does not mean that you are a good team. He won it 1 year out of his 4 years. That's because Pittsburgh and Baltimore had problems last year. He will not win it again.
Pittsburgh and Baltimore had problems was they sucked.
Exactly. Telling you next year or this year coming, 2014, I guarantee you Cincinnati will not win the AFC North.
Who's going to beat them? Pittsburgh?
Or Baltimore? Yes.
Okay.
Pittsburgh and Baltimore have dominated the AFC North and will continue to dominate the AFC North.
Cincinnati brings the best roster.
15 quarterback.
Top 15, top half of the league? Yeah, he's probably top half of the league.
Oh, yeah, I'll give him top 15, but I wouldn't give him top 10.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. They know he's top half of the league, but is he a good serviceable starter or is he a franchise player? He's obviously not a franchise player. Otherwise, they would have wrapped him up with a year or two left on his contract. They would have extended him. But what they're doing is kind of what the Buccaneers, and Mark Dominic talked about this too, it's kind of what the Buccaneers were doing with Josh Freeman. They've seen what he can do, but they don't have faith that he can continually do it. And that just comes to fruition with Josh Freeman. He's a reason why you don't pay big money for extensions without seeing something out of him. Kaepernick's a situation where he came in halfway through a year, excelled, took him to the Super Bowl. Then the next year, he was in competition for the Super Bowl. So now he's really in his third year starting, fourth year in the league. He's actually considered one of the top quarterbacks in the league, and because of the different dynamics. They're paying him big money on a grand scale if he performs. But again, like you were saying, the contract is really set up. He has to perform. If he doesn't perform, which obviously you take a young kid like that, at the top of his game, his ego's there. Hey, if you can perform, we'll pay you better than anybody's ever been paid. He's like, hell yeah, I'll perform. If he doesn't perform, I mean, what's the cap hit? That's what I want to know. What's his cap hit?
It's not a huge contract. Everybody kind of falls. Everybody always falls in love with the total amount. You just look at the upfront cash. And it's whatever that number with the NFL teams, whatever we pay you in bonuses, and then tell you what, we'll see about the rest later. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, the question here was, does he get paid Kaepernick money? I say no. I don't think he's worth it because people are complaining to me every time. In crunch time, he screws up every time.
Tony, you got to understand, Kaepernick's not getting that much money. He's basically a 2-year, $28 million deal. It's not a big deal at all. I mean, seriously, it really is, you know.
So, Tex, if you were Andy Dalton's people, would you accept a contract like Kaepernick's where it's incentive-based?
No.
You know, Dalton has no leverage, and you know what they always say, get your money. You know,
hey,
get
you know
your
what?
Money.
Hey,
right
hey,
now.
Hey, you know who else they're doing that to? You know who else they're going to do that to? You know
Cam?
You know what I'm about to say. They're going to do the same thing to Cam. Watch.
Not going to happen.
It's going to be some crazy little incentive-based contract offer.
Not going to happen.
If he has another good season, you think they're still going to do that, Clavel?
Not going to happen.
Part of me thinks they will.
I think Cam
gets his lucrative extension.
Thank you. He is not going to be incentive based. I guarantee.
But I don't feel like that because I feel like he is one of the top quarterbacks in the league. You understand what I'm saying?
You think he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league, Tex?
No, sir. I said I don't feel like he's one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
Who, Cam Newton?
Yeah.
Absolutely, Cam Newton is one of the top quarterbacks in the league.
I don't know why you feel. You're looking at potential? You're looking at what he hasn't done, what you think he's going to do?
I'm looking at what he's done over the last 3 years. From starting nothing and taking his team from worst to first, he has produced. He hasn't done much.
He hasn't done much.
We talk about top quarterbacks. Are we talking about like top 10?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't have Cam in the top 10.
Oh wow!
I think Cam falls in there. He falls in there from 11 to 16.
Wow!
Manning, Reeves, Rodgers, Matt Ryan. Who else?
I put Flacco above Cam right now. I put Flacco above.
He's the most overrated quarterback in the league. He's the most overrated quarterback in the league, in my opinion.
That's what you say, but
of course that's because you hate him. You hate him.
I don't hate him, dude. I want him to do well.
You give your sophomore in college more props than you give this third-year starter who was the rookie of the year in the NFL.
No, I just think you overhyped this guy. This guy is not one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's not.
This is my personal opinion.
I want him to do well.
Look at the stats. The stats say that Cam Newton has done better over the last 3 years than every other quarterback in the NFL.
Tony, I thought we weren't looking at stats, Tony.
I'm telling you from you all's perspective. If you look at the stats, Cam Newton has done better than all other quarterbacks in the NFL in the past 3 years. All of them. And what he's done with his team, taking him from worst to first, his performance is better than all other quarterbacks, including Peyton Manning for the past 3 years.
You want me to
post that on CMT? Because I can post it for you.
Hold on, Tony, are you talking about over the last 3 years overall, you think he's been the best quarterback over the past 3 years out of everybody?
I'm telling you what the stats say.
I'm asking you, do you mean through every player's first 3 years or through all the – that's what I'm saying. Through every player's first 3 years or through all just last 3 years, period? Like, basically, are you trying to say he's better than Peyton Manning for 3 years?
She's thinking of a lie.
I'm trying to go find it because y'all telling me I'm telling lies, and I'm telling you.
Let's bring Eric on here, man.
All right.
And James, I'll be on hold.
All right, hold on. You gonna do it? Hey, what's going on, Eric?
What's up, fellas? What's going on? I've been listening in. And, Cam is good. I like Cam. We talked about Cam before. He has a load of potential, but he has a lot of things he needs to work on, you know, as far as being able to throw from the pocket and being able to, you know, read his routes a little bit better and just his decision-making. I won't put him in the top 15. You know, I mean, I would probably put him in, like, you know, I mean, 16, 17. There are other quarterbacks who are a little bit better. I still think that he has maturing to do, quite honestly. And so, you know, I like Cam, but he's definitely not one of the elite quarterbacks. You know,
Before we continue, I want to get this established. Okay, we got Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Andy Dalton, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matt Ryan, who else?
I don't see Dalton as a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah, me neither. I don't see Dalton as a top 10. And as far as that,
all right.
Let me tell you, right here it says
real quarterback rankings. Real quarterback rankings, top 10. So, Rodgers is one. Manning is two. Brady is three. Breeze is four. Newton is five. Romo is six. Rivers is seven. Ryan is eight. Suave is nine. And Garcia is 10. Real quarterback ratings.
Don't know what you're looking at, man. What real quarterback? Talk to me about efficiency right now. Talk to me about
what
efficiency
year?
Rating.
What year are you
looking at, Garcia? What year?
Are you talking about
Garcia hasn't played since like 2009.
That's what I was going to say. Garcia, he's been out for a minute.
No, this was put out as of August the 1st of last year.
Who is Garcia?
I
had to laugh at that.
Jeff Garcia?
Yeah.
Wow. Reach, Tony.
He's not even in the league.
I guess it's all, I don't know if it's active or what, but they're saying all time, I guess.
I'm not really reading.
I don't think you know.
Jeff Garcia is on it, so I can tell you it's not active. Jeff Garcia does not play in the NFL.
And Cam was a game manager, man. He was a game manager this year.
He didn't take his team from first.
It says career. It says career quarterback ranking since 1991.
So in other words, the list that you just found has Cam Newton as the fifth best quarterback in the NFL.
You want me? I'll show it to you. Career quarterback ranking since 1991. Yeah.
And this list also has Jeff Garcia at number four.
Right.
number six.
Yeah.
Where is Steve Young?
Since 1991.
Where is Brett? I just
posted it for you guys. You go look at it.
Because this list ought to be insane.
Nah.
I just posted it for you. Go take a look.
You can't hoodwink us. You can't be hoodwinked.
I don't see that list on there. Where did you post that? Oh, okay. Oh.
We cannot be hoodwinked.
I mean, quite honestly, and I mean, if you talk about Andy Dalton, too, I don't think he deserves a – I heard Jamal talking about, his contract and Kaepernick and sitting-laden contract. I don't think Dalton deserves that kind of money. I mean, he hasn't proved to me to be a franchise-type guy. I'm not saying I wouldn't, extend him, but I wouldn't extend him to where he has a $100 million plus contract. I mean, actually, I'd be looking to try to ship him in a few years and try to get somebody new and fresh because he's proven to be. I mean, they go to the playoffs, but they consistently lose in the first round, and I think some of that is his doing. So I wouldn't give him that kind of money, me personally.
Eric makes a good point. Has Andy Dalton hit his ceiling? And I agree with kind of where he's going with that. I think he has hit his ceiling, and that's what Cincinnati's looking at. They're not willing to bet that he has more room to grow. They think he's done what he's done, and they're not willing to give him big money because, what he's going to get. Not a lot of players get those deals for what they have done. I mean, Chris Johnson is kind of one of those guys where it proves you don't pay people for what they have done. You need to find out what is the potential of them continuing to play at a high level and for how long. I guess, again, there's risk in all of that, but that's really what they need to look at. And Chris Johnson, I know, again, it's a different position, but that's what you got to look at. I mean, you can't – what he's done, so he's won a championship. I mean, Wiley makes a good point, not really a point, but an outright argument that he hasn't really done a whole lot. He doesn't deserve that money, which I agree with, but at the same time, I'm not looking at just that, what he's done. What is he going to do for me in the future? And that's where kind of Eric is getting, the ceiling has already been hit, in my opinion. So I think they're best off looking at it, trying to maybe trade him, seeing how the camp goes, or short-term extension, 2 years, trying to put him on the trade block, and pick somebody up in the first or second round in one of the next 2 years. So I think it's probably what they would end up doing.
I agree with you, Matt. In my opinion, what they did this year by winning the AFC North is the best they're ever going to do. They are at the top that Cincinnati is going to get as far as what they were going to do, and they blew it in the playoffs when they should have had a breeze through the AFC into the championship game.
San Diego is a pretty good football team. San Diego is a pretty good football team. But,
they're always pretty good until they get to the championship game.
They started over. Philip Rivers had a revival.
The Pacers are a pretty good basketball team, but they never make it to the championship.
Look, North Turner and his staff is not in San Diego anymore. It's a new staff with a chameleon offensive coordinator with Philip Rivers as your quarterback, and he had a revival. Wait a second. A new system. You had a quarterback that could play that was down, and he had a revival. San Diego had a revival as a football team, and their identity switched along the way. And, again, they had Mike McCoy, who was able to make Tebow look like a little something. He's a chameleon offensive coordinator that can adjust his system to any type of personnel that he's presented with. But what I wanted to get back to was talking about Dalton and the money that we're talking about that he should or shouldn't get, which is Kaepernick's money. Again, it's not that much money, but the other alarming thing about Dalton is he did have a career season. He tossed 33 touchdowns. I think he had like 19, 20 interceptions or whatever. But the thing about Dalton is this guy had five great games and was average to below average in the other 11. So, you know, beware on Dalton. Huh?
I think we're all in agreement here that Andy Dalton is not a not an elite quarterback. We're kind of on the fence here with Cam Newton. I mean, I don't know if you put Cam in it. I thought Cam was a top 10 quarterback, but now that I look at the list, maybe he's not a top 10 quarterback. I mean, with the list of people who I'd have in the top 10, I don't know who he could beat out. I mean, can you move him ahead of Ben Roethlisberger at this point?
Tech makes a good point. With that new system, Rivers is really going to flourish in that system because his weaknesses were kind of exposed in Turner's offense, and he, especially a little towards the end of Turner's tenure there. So this allows it to play to his strength, you know, the check downs, short mid-range passes, you know, comeback routes, things that, you know, he's good at because he's an accurate thrower. So it puts it in his wheelhouse. He's not relying on long passes downfield. You know, the long passes downfield are either going to be on play action or on double when somebody does a double move. That's really the only time you're going to see those downfield throws. But you're not going to see him lob up sideline shoulder shots downfield. I mean, that's just not. He doesn't have that type of arm strength to do that. So,
hey, I want to put James on. Eric, you don't mind if I put you on hold? I'm put you on hold.
No.
I'm gonna put James on, and then I'm put Shotown. He's on hold too. What's up, James?
Hey, what's going on?
All right, let's do it. I was just gonna go through like 3 points. What y'all been talking about for the show so far. So I'm going to go back with first thing with Andy Dalton. Thinking about that contract, like what has been mentioned before, is that it's mainly a bonus-laden contract that Kaepernick has. At its base, it's not really that much. So it's not like, you know, the 49ers are really taking a cap hit right now. So regardless of what Kaepernick does, after 2 years, if it does bad after 2 years, then the 49ers have a decision on what to, you know, do next after that. You could offer Dalton that same contract with less incentives, of course. Because it's like, which contract as a team would you rather give to your quarterback that really hasn't done much? A contract like Kaepernick's or a contract like Joe Flacco's that has more base salary, you know, on it? I'd rather go for the one that Kaepernick has, right? Because that puts less risk in your franchise, and then you have more cap room right now, and then worry about the rest later. You know what I'm saying? Number two, going back to the thing with Cam Newton, I'm putting him in the top 10 right now. I can't really think of 10 quarterbacks off the top that are better than, you know, better than Cam. Probably about, you know, 6 or 7, but not 10.
Hey, let me ask you this real quick.
Are you serious? You would put Cam Newton in the top 10?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, put him in the top 10.
You put him over Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Put him over Phillip Rivers?
Okay, hold on. This is what I'm trying to say. Okay, I see where you're coming from. But let's start looking at the 10. Okay.
You put Cam Newton over Matt Ryan?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
Thank you very much.
Now, hold on. Hold on a second. Because I'm trying to see if I can hear y'all good. But now, I'm thinking of the 10. I mean, of course you have Peyton Breeze, Brady, right? Rodgers.
Romo was the last time Dallas made the playoffs. Yeah. Come on, Tony, Romo, let that go.
Look, Romo falls between the 11 and 16 range along with Cam Newton, in my opinion.
I put Romo over Cam. I'd take Romo over Cam.
Cam Newton.
Look here, your top 10 quarterbacks. Your top 10 quarterbacks.
No way in hell.
Hey, Hold on, Tony. Let's everybody name them, and then we can see where he's
your
wrong.
Top.
Okay, we got Manning.
Quarterbacks.
You know the top four. Manning, Breeze, yeah. Brady, and
Let me go down the list so we can be clear. And then this is not in order. This is, okay. Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson,
yes.
Ben Roethlisberger,
yes.
Tom
yes.
Brady,
yes.
Peyton Manning.
Yes.
I put Joe Flacco in there. I put Drew Brees.
Y'all are great.
I put Andrew Luck in there. I put Eli Manning in there. And I put it's the 10th is a tie. At 10 is a tie between Matt Ryan and Phillip Rivers. I lean towards Phillip Rivers.
Boy,
those are my top ten
quarterbacks in the NFL. He had one good year throwing Hail Marys.
And then the next 5 or 6 is I'm probably about, you know, Stafford. You got Romo. You got Kaepernick in there. You got Cam in the mix. You got Cutler in the mix there a little bit. Somebody might want to throw RG3 in there or Alex Smith. You know, it's all kind of, you know, just opinion based. But
yeah. Andrew Luck in your top 10, Tex?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of people would put Andrew Luck in the top 10, but the one with like putting in Joe Flacco and Eli Manning, that's where I'm like,
that's
a Super Bowl quarterback.
Okay, just because you win a Super Bowl don't make you great.
I have their towards really? The end,
Tony,
though. Manny and Flacco are going to be towards
the end.
I
thought all you cared about
saying?
Was winning, Tony. Remember?
You guys see what I'm saying?
I thought all you cared about was winning.
Now, I want to bring – hold on. I want to bring – I want to bring –
Hey, hold on. Should I get one more point?
Yeah, get one more point.
Yeah,
all right, real quick. Hey, check it. If Pensacola is part of Alabama, right, then I guess Emmitt Smith is an Alabama guy.
Hey, yeah. It's close enough, man. That's like saying, okay, Thomasville, Georgia. That's like saying Thomasville, Georgia. You might as well say that's close to Tallahassee right there, man.
No.
Nah.
You might as well, man.
James, let me ask you something real quick. Back to talking about Andy Dalton. Let me ask you this. Why give him a 5-year deal with an incentive-laden contract that he has to live up to get paid for when, I mean, that you're saying that you believe that his ceiling hasn't been reached. He's actually going to get better, and he can make your team win. You could potentially win a Super Bowl with him. Do you think that Cincinnati can win a Super Bowl with Andy Dalton?
Here's the thing. Right now,
yes or no?
I do not think.
Yes or no, right now.
The answer is no, but I'm not saying you put,
okay.
You put that much
it doesn't, in a it contract. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to pay him 5 years. Why not extend him two, put him on the trade block? If he gets better, you can extend him again. Or if he's better, you can trade him within the 2 years and get more than you would this year. You don't give him five.
I mean, nobody's not.
Okay,
in a league where everybody is drafting young quarterbacks and playing them immediately, you're not gonna get something for Andy Dalton.
That's what I'm about to say. Is the market that big for Andy Dalton to where he can demand money like that? Like he thinks he can?
No.
If Josh Freeman's making $3 million a contract per year, and he clearly sucks, obviously, Andy Dalton's going to garnish more than $3 million a year.
Nah, and you know what? Cincinnati probably has the best roster in the league, one of the best. They're a quarterback away. Who's the quarterback? Andy Dalton.
Yep.
They have a hell of a roster.
Gentlemen, I just posted straight from NFL.com. Straight from NFL.com, the top 10 statistic quarterbacks in the NFL. Read it and weep. And it's on the CMT Firestorm page.
Hey, straight from NFL.com. Yeah,
From the Super Bowl era.
Hey, James, I got to put you on hold. I got to put Michael in here.
Straight from NFL.com.
Hey, what's up, Cali,
Shottown,
say what you
guys
say.
What's going on, everybody?
What's up, Shottown?
Nothing much, man. I was listening to all y'all were saying, man. When I was muted, I was saying, with Tex was saying this top 10, putting Flacco in the top 10. I was like, no, Tex. When you had to say Eli Manning, I'm like, no, Tex. You forgot about Philip Rivers, man. Oh, yeah.
All right, Mike, you wasn't listening. Thanks for playing.
I know you were saying about Cam Newton, but I wouldn't put Cam Newton over Ryan, though. Matt Ryan.
But did y'all hear, didn't everybody hear what I said about Rivers down there and them at around 9, 8, 9, 10? Or 9 or 10. Didn't I say you can? I said I think that it's kind of a thing, a matter of opinion when you decide with 9 and 10 between guys like Ryan, Rivers, Flacco. You know, I thought I did say that.
Yeah. I heard you.
We got
selective hearing on this show.
I just think maybe because of last year he just was a disappointment, but you know, and then the Andy Dalton talking to her a little bit today. Yeah, Andy Dalton needed to be quiet and play. He called Cincinnati the chance to advance.
NFL.com player by position 2013. Peyton Manning, number one. Andrew Luck, number two. Colin Kaepernick, Number three, Drew Brees. Number four, Russell Wilson. Alex Smith, number seven. Philip Rivers, number eight. Cam Newton, number 10. That is straight from NFL.com.
What kind of list is this? Dude, Tony always finds the most outrageous. He just found a list that had Jeff Garcia on it, folks. And now he just produced the list.
Like NFL.com, the official website of the NFL.
You know what he's doing?
He's looking at stats. Remember, F a stat, remember? Remember, you can maybe look however you want.
I'm using what y'all are using. Y'all calling yourself trying to use the stats? Well, as far as statistics, Cam Newton is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL.
Look. Based on stats, right?
You just found a list that has Alex Smith as a top 10 quarterback, and you're going by
absolutely. Alex Smith has been a top 10 quarterback. Even when he lost his job, he was one of the top quarterbacks in the NFC.
You are smoking rocks.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me Alex Smith wasn't one of the top quarterbacks in the NFC when he lost his job to Colin Kaepernick?
Quit trying to alter what you're saying. Now all of a sudden he's saying stop. Stop it.
Oh, my God.
Alex Smith has never been a top 10 quarterback. Stop it.
Hey, all right, I'm putting David on now. What you guys say?
I'm just listening. I don't even know what the topic is. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, put it back on later. Hey, look, anyway, let's. I want to switch topics right now.
Andy Dalton.
Yeah, of course. But you don't want to mention Cam Newton. Tony is to Cam Newton as Clavel is to the guy we're about to talk about next.
I think I'm becoming worse with Jameis, believe it or not, man.
Hey, look, at the beginning of the show, Parcells
single-handedly putting Jameis Winston in the LeBron James category for me.
He's making me hate him.
He is Jameis Winston as ESPN was to LeBron James. Just overpowering this guy. He's putting him on the pedestal.
He's to Jameis Winston as to Bob Costas was to George. He makes him walk on water. But anyway, let's. I want to get to Jameis.
Howard Cosell was to Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, at the beginning of the show, me and Tony were talking about different dialects and the way people sound. I'm from California. When I first moved out to Florida, you know, I met guys like Clavel who had Southern accents. I was like, man, this dude's crazy. And then somebody, he's a president of the physics club. He's one of the smartest guys in school. And I was like, him? And, you know, and it almost made me transfer schools because I knew how crazy Clavel was. But it turned out he's a very intelligent dude. Now, Jameis Winston has released a video. I guess you could call it a reply or to what A.J. McCarron's mom said about him. Have you guys all seen the video?
Tell us about it.
Jameis shows a wall at his house that has all his academic achievements, which were a lot. And he goes over that he had, you know, he carries a 3.8 GPA and da 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 da. And, you know, says that he's very intelligent. While he was saying this, though, he said it with a very strong Southern accent. And he also said some word at the end that made something like that I couldn't understand. But I was like, you know, I didn't want to judge him by the way he sounds. But anyway, I want to know what do you guys think about that? One, AD, do you think that, you know, knowing that what we talked about these athletes getting these bird courses and Rashawn McCants being an academic All-American and can barely read, knowing that, can we put any credit behind what Cam did? I mean, behind what Jameis did? And also, you know, was there a need for him to reply? And out of all the things that he could reply to with his rape case and the crab legs, he chose to reply to this. I just want to know what you guys thought about this. You know we got to talk about Jameis because he's hot. What do y'all think?
Well, you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. You're
I won't interrupt
fan.
Anybody. I won't interrupt anybody in the response.
And guys, I'm gonna just listen, but I have to take off because I got some things
Damn.
I need to do. In
I really want you to respond
week.
To this. All right.
All right.
I'll go to Kissimmee this weekend, man. But the thing is this, man.
Got a thing with a guy.
With Jameis. Of course you could take his stuff for Chris. He was next person, please. He had a 3.5 and above in high school. So the guy is academically, he's intelligent. Okay. He's a swang talking, tang talking, whatever kind of a dude, but he's an intelligent dude academically, and he's an intelligent dude on the football field. Now, like Malcolm X said, they're not going to give him credit anyway. You know what I mean? He could be a bum on the street. He could have a PhD. He's not going to get the credit anyway for it. They're going to think he's dumb anyway.
You know, oh, wow.
People like Watley. So it is what it is. So the guy's an intelligent guy. The guy works hard on the football field and in the classroom, and he should be given credit for that, you know.
Okay, but what bothered me, Clausell, is not, like I said, okay, Tony has an accent, but Tony pronounced, like I said, he enunciates. Jameis doesn't, you know, when you don't take time to, like, enunciate words, like I could tell Tony has an accent, but I could also tell from talking with Tony, I'm like, okay, this is an educated dude. I could tell you have an accent, but after talking to you, I could tell this is an educated dude. Besides what Jameis was saying, if he was just talking, I would have been like, man, dude might not be that smart. You know? He might have not graduated from high school. I mean, just the way he was, I forget which word he said, but he said it in such a way,
mean,
I was like, oh, my goodness.
The dude, I mean, he may not enunciate all correctly, but he's not like the dumbest guy I've ever heard. I mean, I've heard a lot worse of guys that don't know how to pronunciate. He's not like.
I'll say this. I compared his interview that he did to that interview that Marshawn Lynch did, when I was like, damn, this is...
Really? You're going to compare that to Marshawn Lynch? Marshawn Lynch is the worst. And honestly,
At least I know Marshawn Lynch went to Cal.
And I'm not trying to get on your boy again. I'm not trying to piggyback on your boy again, Wiley. I think Cam Newton has worse enunciation than Jameis Winston.
Are you kidding? Come on.
No, I haven't heard. I'm being truthful. I haven't heard that from Cam. I've heard Cam.
Come on.
You ever heard Cam Newton talk before?
Cam Newton carries himself very well.
He carries himself fine, but he can't enunciate anything. Are you kidding me?
Oh, wow.
He's not articulate at all.
I haven't heard that club at all. Maybe I haven't listened to him a lot, but I haven't heard that.
But my thing is, I don't think Jameis Winston is that bad. You guys trying to make it seem like he's the worst guy. Like,
well, you just tried to make it seem like Cam Newton
Lynch
is worse than him, which is a lie.
I think Cam Newton is worse than him. But you're talking about, like, Marshawn Lynch is pretty bad to me. I think he doesn't know how to enunciate anything, and he went to Cal.
Jameis Winston sounds.
No, I don't know. That's not true. Jameis Winston sounds nothing like Marshawn Lynch. But anyway, that's my point right there. He should be given his credit for his academic excellence and his and his intelligence on the football field. At least I'm going to give it to him. I know certain people in the media won't give credit to him, and we know why. So it is what it is. All right, I'm done talking. I'm going to let you guys respond.
Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Well, personally, you know how I feel about Jameis Winston. To me, the proof is in the pudding. I can't take nothing away from the boy for being a great athlete. He won the Heisman Trophy. I can't take nothing away from the boy for having a great team. They won the national championship. I got to give him his credit where his credit is due. But every single time they get the boy by himself and say, hey, Jameis, tell us something. He start going, CN's not gotten. You can't even understand the man. He started talking a whole different language. He ain't even talking Ebonics. He talking Negonics. You can't even understand him.
He's speaking in tongues, huh?
I know. It's like he talking to Jesus in his own language. I don't get it.
All
I mean,
oh, you know, you can say what you want, but Jameis, to me, you know, if you really did make 3.5 in high school, you would think that you took at least a speech class. Gee.
All right, who's next, man? Who's next? Is it,
I don't know.
Let me put, you go, Matt, and I'm going to put Eric on.
I don't understand what the whole thing is about the speech. He talks with some slang, you know? I mean, I talk with slang. What does that mean? I don't know. He has a little bit of accent when he talks. I mean, the dude's from Alabama. You know, I know Clausell talked with some slang too. Yeah, you never heard him talk. What did Clausell get wrong? He's gonna get going. Clausell has his little quirks too. I mean, we're not questioning his capability of structurally constructing a sentence. No, I mean, I think it's ludicrous that because he has a little saying amongst his friends and his people that, you know, is inherently slang that. The guy isn't intelligent, you know. I don't know. I think it's ludicrous. I mean, you can't really judge a person's intelligence by just the way they speak. Intelligence has so many different measures to it.
And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to let you finish. Okay.
We're talking about also the book knowledge too. So obviously the 3.5 or whatever he says, 3.4 he has right now in college. I mean, if he had 3.8 in high school, 3.4 now, I mean, kid's probably a book smart too, you know. I mean, what can you say? I don't really know where else to go with the topic.
Exactly. And the thing is, this issue is going to be national stage when he gets in the NFL. Trust me, the way he talks now, he's not going to change the way he talks when he gets in the league. I bet my bottom dollar on that. I have this hunch.
Let me ask you a question, because the town where he's from, Sealy Town or wherever, is this like a country town?
Excuse me, say that again?
The town where Jameis is from, is it like a small country town or something?
It's a suburb. It's in Birmingham. Birmingham is the largest city in Alabama, so it's kind of like a suburb. But yes and no. It's kind of like Lakeland. Well, I don't know. You're not from here. Matt knows what I'm talking about, and Tony Wiley. It's like being from Lakeland, basically, in Birmingham, Tampa.
Let's say this.
And that's in Polk County, which is a country part of
Yeah, I shouldn't
Florida.
Say Lakeland. Maybe I should say Plant City.
Like Brandon?
Yeah.
Well, let's say this. Brandon. Okay, let's say this. I've heard different dialects from Alabama. I've heard Utah. I don't know, you remember our friend Roderick. He was from Dothan. I've heard him talk. Jameis Winston does not sound like either one of y'all. I mean, he's, like I said, his words. Maybe it's slang because, you know, like I said, we're getting kind of old. You know, we're 30, and the new kids, they got slang now. But, okay, so maybe that's it. I don't know. But like I said, just to me, it was like I was listening. Like I said, I've heard Bo Jackson. I mean, I've heard people from the South talk, and they did not sound like this dude. I'm telling you.
And him and Bo Jackson are from the same city. So
okay, and like I say, and think about look how Bo talks, and this is and Bo, we know Bo came up dirt broke.
Yeah, Bo has a
Bo don't sound
Bo,
like that.
Bo has a speech impediment,
which makes it even okay. Did
yeah,
that make it better or worse for him?
Bo Jackson talks very slow. People don't get that though, but whatever. I don't see that.
Okay,
I see
what you're saying. So maybe the speech impediment made it to where he could.
Yeah.
Okay, I see what you're talking about. But still, though, man, like I said, between he just sounds different to me, man. That's maybe that's it. You know, like I say, I don't know.
All right, I'm bringing in Eric. What's going on, Eric?
What's going on, guy? Hey, I mean, honestly, I do think that Jameis needs to improve that part of his, you know, of his just how he presents himself. And with him being a high-profile person like he is, a high-profile athlete, I mean, I don't want that to take away from, you know, just other potential offers he might get off the field, which that very well could do. I mean, obviously the kid is not a dumb kid. I mean, he has plenty of academic achievements. I didn't really think he needed to answer to AJ McCarron's mommy. I mean, it's already well documented. The kid makes good grades, you know, on top of being a great athlete. So, I mean, I think that's something that he's going to have to improve on, and just, you know, through his maturity, you know, he's going to have to learn how to enunciate and articulate a little bit better. But I honestly think they kind of overblow it a little bit. You know, it's really kind of overblown. He's not the only one that doesn't. You know, there are plenty of athletes, you know, from southern towns, you know, and not just southern towns, other places too, you know, who have a problem enunciating and pronunciating words. And him being from a town in Alabama, you know, in the deep south, you know, there are people who talk like him. But again, that goes nothing, you know, that has nothing to do with his intellect or how smart he is. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of people get it kind of messed up and mixed up. I mean, the kid is a smart kid, you know, and so he should have his just credit and his due credit, you know, for his academic achievements and what he's accomplished off the field too. He's the epitome of a scholar athlete.
That's fun. Okay. See, what had happened was we was in the first quarter, you see, and they asked me what we gonna do, Jameis, and I said, "Are we scrum?" And they said, "Yeah, we scrum." And I said, "Then we gonna be scrum together. Let's be scrum." That's a scholar athlete, real scrum.
Look at what happened. All I'm saying is look at his academic achievements. You can't judge
exactly
a book by its cover.
Okay, but
exactly,
you know as well as I do, them numbers can be faked very easily. There are people that have thrown all the way through the NFL and then at 40 years old came out and said, "I can't read," and they had 4.0 GPAs throughout high school and college.
Ooh, Name one person that has done that.
There was a couple of people. I've seen 30-30 things that showed athletes that said they.
I don't know what his GPA was, but Dexter Manley was illiterate, and he's just
right.
Widely known.
He probably had like a 2.0, or he probably had like a 1 point something in it. That's what Dexter Manley probably had. He had no 4.0.
You can't handle a damn 1.0 and play football. Come on now.
He had the minimum requirement if he couldn't read.
And then, honestly, do you think that they would have...
Quazelle, hold on. Even if you have a 2.0, you believe you can be illiterate and have a 2.0 in college? Are you serious?
No, but you can't. You're not gonna, nobody who can't read is not going to have a 4.0. I find that very hard to believe.
Okay, if you're illiterate, you have... Hold on, Quazelle. If you're illiterate, you should have a 0.0. You should have no grade point average. You can't read.
Right. Okay, you can be given grades, but they're not going to give you no 4.0. That is ridiculous. I find that hard to believe.
Well, Jameis don't have a 4.0. But like I said,
yeah,
with Rashawn McCants.
Yeah,
hold on, but we just now seen Rashawn McCants come out and say that he was an academic All-American and barely went to class.
Yeah. So are you basically saying that Jameis Winston, with all
I'm not
the
saying anything.
There,
I'm just saying, all I'm saying is that we've seen players, and it's been proven,
I mean,
right? We just had, like I said, we just had a major player who came from a major college come out and North Carolina is a good academic institution too, right? And he just came out and said, that he barely went to class, and he was academic All-American.
Yeah, but there's like a cheating scandal going on over there, man. But my thing is this. Because really,
yeah, it is not going on over there.
Remember that teacher? That teacher at Florida State sent that anonymous letter. What was it last year that said the same thing is going on at State? Remember? And he quit. He quit over it too, didn't he? Because he said he was tired of it, right? Didn't that happen at Florida State?
I don't remember.
Oh man. There was a teacher. I'll find an article and post on CMT.
He's lying, Mike. Lying. He just don't want to admit it.
No, I'm not lying. There was
a teacher who said that he was tired of the cheating and tired of athletes getting away with stuff, and he quit. And I believe he was from a Florida State professor.
I thought it was North Carolina.
No, that was down Florida State. No, first of all, you said you never heard of that. Now all of a sudden you say you thought it was North Carolina. No, it was Florida State. You know,
no, because there was Real Sports, HBO Real Sports, Brian Gumbel did a whole thing on North Carolina and how all the students were majoring in African American studies. So
I don't know anything about African American studies. I know the teacher that did this was a white man and he quit.
No.
And he was from Florida State.
I mean, but I'll put it to you like this. Do you honestly think after all the stuff that Jameis has been exposed doing with the rape and the crab legs, do you honestly think they would have exposed him being an academic cheat or a fraud? I mean, being a Heisman Trophy winner and winning national championship.
I don't want it to seem like I'm doubting that this dude is intelligent. I'm just going to say it's, like you said, Eric, it's part of his game that he needs to improve. You know,
yeah,
you can't, you know, for, you know, I think in general, like I said, if it is slang, I think in general that our young generation knows that you can't talk a certain way and be taken seriously. Like I said, if you're talking to somebody and sounds like that, not if you're just talking to them having fun or if he's a friend, if you're talking to somebody in a business situation that sounds like that, wouldn't you maybe just pay attention to like 1 minute or 30 seconds of what he said and then say you have to go or not? I mean, would you really take somebody that sounds like that serious in a serious situation?
Probably not. That's why I said that's something he needs to improve on. And I understand
it definitely is, you know. I mean, we've had other guys from the South, you know, that have had speech, you know, they say Jordan had a speech coach. I wonder what he would sound like before, you know. So it's just something Jameis needs to look out after. Another point I wanted to make about the video was, do you guys think that the video is necessary? You know, that he made this reply video to this lady?
I don't think it was. I think he should have just went on about his business because it's irrelevant. It doesn't really matter.
Exactly.
I mean, him firing
that's another thing that bothered me about him. To me, that's something he could have just let go. You know, and like I said, out of all the things he could have chose to make a reply about, rape, crab legs, water balloons, he chose to make a reply about that, to me, which is the stupidest thing possible. I mean, what do you
I don't know. I don't know that I agree there. I don't know that I agree there because I understand in a way from a different perspective. You guys are looking at it from an athletic perspective. He's looking at it, I think that he's looking at it from a different perspective. The majority of Americans are white people. White people outnumber black people 7-1 in America, which means the perception of white people in America truly does matter. So that when a white woman gets on national television and says you're dumb, you have to address that. Because if you just let it go, then all those 7 people will be looking at that one person and saying he's dumb. So he came to it and said, look here, 7 people, I need you guys to understand, I can prove I'm not dumb. You may not like the way I talk. You may not like what I've said, but here's the proof that I'm as smart as your white boy.
I understand.
And
yeah,
he had the right to do that.
He also had a white woman get on TV and say that this man raped me, and he hasn't said anything about it.
Well, and I want to say something, too. His major is exploratory, so he may not necessarily have a hard major, though. I will concede to that.
What the hell is exploratory?
I don't know. It's kind of like, it says it's designed for students who are not ready to select a specific department.
So in other words, he doesn't have a major. That means undecided.
Yeah, it's like general studies.
And I think he's gonna get a degree in that. So
you can't get a degree.
Okay, well,
you can't get a degree in undecided.
You can get a degree in general studies, though. You can't get a degree in exploratory. You can't get
a degree. No, exploratory is not a degree. Exploratory means you're still exploring what you want to major in.
Yeah, he's going into his third year. He doesn't have a major yet. How is that even possible?
Well, you can go until you have until your junior year to declare your major.
That's what I'm saying. This is his junior year, though, ain't it? He's going into his junior year.
Yeah, he's sophomore.
Okay.
Yeah, he retroed.
You have until your junior year to declare your major, so he can still do it. He still has this year to declare his major. But you know what it's going to end up being? African American studies.
I'll tell you this: either African American studies or communication. That's usually the two. That's usually the two that certain guys. Like I said, I don't want to put any stigma on these football players. But usually, when you see African American studies or comms, you kind of know where they're coming from. I'll say that.
Right. And the thing is, true academic All Americans know what they want to study their freshman year. They come into college knowing what they're good at. They come into college knowing what they're interested in, and they apply to the college of whatever. You got to realize all a university is a combination of multiple colleges, like the College of Liberal Arts, the College of Business, the College of Law, this, that, the other. It's just a bunch of colleges. So that it's a situation of where those who know what they want to do, when they apply to the university, they also apply to a particular college. And most intellectuals already do that.
Oh, yeah, look at, speaking of Florida State, look at Myron Roll.
Right.
He'd be a doctor. He became a friggin' Rhodes Scholar,
Right.
But that's an anomaly there, man.
But it's not an anomaly if you are like me. When I applied to the University of Florida, I automatically applied to the College of Liberal Arts and Sciences. Why? Because I knew all of my degrees were going to be liberal arts and science degrees, so I applied to the Liberal Arts and Sciences College, and they told me what I needed to get into their college, and I made sure that I had all of those things done before I even applied to the University of Florida.
Let me ask you guys this, because you guys are in the school system. When players come into college and they're undeclared, like you say, Tony, since they don't have to apply to a certain college, do they maybe do that to have easier admissions or something like that? Could that be possible?
Yeah, well, for these large universities now, they have so little room that now they make freshmen declare their majors as freshmen. It used to be you had until you were a junior. But now, because they got so much influx of students, they make you declare, and then you have to go to a particular college, and if that college is full or only has so many people they allow in per term or whatever, if you're not one of those people, then you don't get accepted.
It is. Okay, so maybe... Okay, like, I don't know about Florida. Okay, California, in high school, you got to take certain classes if you want to go to, if you want to go to Cal, you got to have certain requirement classes. Could they maybe, a university like Florida State, could they hold open those, if they make all the freshmen pick their major, could they hold open the general exploratory slots for just, athletes, who maybe didn't take...
What they do in Florida, the way that they get around the requirements in Florida, and I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying this, but this is what they really do. They, instead of letting the black kids and the minority kids come in the fall, they let the black kids and the minority kids come in the summer, because all the white kids are on vacation during the summer. They take summer off. So what they do is... they use the summer term as the term to bring in all of the minorities so that they have more space for more of the white kids for the fall term.
I can see that. I look at it like this, though. I mean, just because Jameis hasn't declared a major doesn't mean he's not smart. I mean, he has other responsibilities. He is an athlete. I'm not saying he doesn't need to declare a major, but... I mean, I still think that we're kind of sweeping his academic achievements. The kid is a smart kid, obviously. He was smart in high school, and he's kept it on throughout college. So, I mean, obviously he's not dumb when it comes to, book smarts and knowing what he needs to do. He needs to work on his verbal skills and being able to articulate and being able to come across, so people can understand him and be a little bit more quiet.
Come on, Eric, let's be honest.
He has been a superstar since he was probably a freshman in high school. You don't think he realized he needs to work on this before now? I mean, he was the number one overall high school coming out of high school. He, for 4 years, people have been talking to him, giving him interviews, being there, asking him a bunch of questions. It ain't like he just started getting interviews at Florida State. So for him to have all of these years of people being all in his face, cameras all in his face, microphones all in his face, and he's still talking like he can't speak a third grade level, that says something to you.
I see, Wiley, you're going extreme there. He does not talk he does it. He's on a third grade level. It's not that bad.
I don't think he needs to work on it.
Yeah, and the thing is, he got accepted, and people don't know this, he got accepted into Stanford academically.
Wow.
Come on, Claudio. How do you know that?
He said it on his national signing day. I will give you the video right now, and I'll post it on the CFP Firestone page. He said it on his national signing day. He's a Florida State Seminole. He was decided between Stanford and Florida State, but he decided to go to Florida State.
Hear what I said.
0.0
GPA
and apply
academically. Hold on, Clawville.
National signing day is February 2nd, bro. Do you know that regular students don't even get accepted to Stanford? And, well, I don't know about out there. Our acceptance, college acceptance, don't even start until damn near March out here, bro. So unless it's for athletics. So how can he get in a Stanford, you got to have damn near a 4.0 to even get considered to go there.
But like
I
said,
he was accepted to Stanford based on completely academics. I'm calling BS.
Yeah, he was. He was accepted into Stanford on academics. Yes.
I'm calling BS.
I'm almost willing.
Listen to this on CMT Firestorm right now. Listen to the interview. He said he did.
No, because like I say, unless you can show me his transcripts, that's what I'm telling you. Stanford's academic acceptance period doesn't even start in February 2nd. Only athletics does. So how did he know that?
No, you can get accepted into Stanford before February 2nd. You can do early admission.
For early admission, do you think he applied to Stanford early admission?
I don't know. He said he got accepted into Stanford. That's all I can tell you. I don't know.
That could be athletic, Clawville. That doesn't mean it's purely academic.
Clawville.
You can say that.
I am
academic. It was academic. Listen to the interview.
I am willing to bet you, Clawville, I am willing to bet you, I am a professor at a 2-year career college, and I'm willing to bet you I could give him a test from a 2-year career college, and he'd fail it.
It depends what the test is on. Come on, man.
I'm willing to bet you.
Hold on. I got a question, Wiley. If I gave you a test in physics, do you think you could pass it? Come on, man.
I'm not teaching physics. I'm teaching sociology and political science.
Exactly.
Every student in America has to take those subjects.
Every single
college student in America has to take.
All right, let me put James on. I'm gonna get on hold, man. Hey, Eric, I gotta put you on hold, Eric. I'm gonna put James on.
And I bet you Jameis wouldn't pass 4.0 my ass. All right,
James, go ahead, Joe.
Man, I'm still trying to figure out how in the world he could get accepted into Stanford under
academics.
James, Clawville made that up. I don't even want to play into that. Clawville made that up.
I didn't make it up. Put the video up online. You can read, watch.
Okay, hold on, Clawville. In the video, he says. In the video, he says I got accepted to Stanford based on academics. He says that in the video.
Yes, he says that in the video.
You're lying.
I'm not lying.
Yes, you are.
I'm not lying.
Yes, you are.
Hey, man. In reference to academics, right?
No, I can tell if you're lying, dude. I can tell when you're lying, bro.
I'm not lying. I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah, that's why you giggling, right?
You did not say that in the video. I don't even, like I said, I don't even need to look at that. I need. Let me tell you this. I need to look at this video like I need to look at the video where. Like I need to look at this video like I need to look at the video where you said he threw the ball 90 yards. I know you're lying.
I showed you the video.
And you need to look at that video where he said he paid for them crack legs.
Hey, in Colosso's defense, that video is actually on the article he wrote about Jameis Winston. So you can go to the chtonsports.com and see it. Yep.
And on that video, they said that ball went 64 yards. No way.
Yeah. Like I said, that's the video where he stands to face the problem.
They did not say that, Matt. I mean, Mike. You're lying, man. They did not say it went 64 yards.
Well,
that ball went about 90 yards, 80, 90 yards. I don't know what you're looking at.
Dude, that ball went 64 yards. I bet you. No, you know, if. Hold on. Let me be clear.
That
if
ball,
it did,
that
I
ball
actually,
went 64
if,
yards.
If,
that
if,
ball
if,
went
if,
about
if,
80,
if,
90 yards.
If it didn't say it in the video, then I must have went and looked it up because I actually did research it because I wanted to prove you wrong. I just forgot to post it. But he only threw the ball 64 yards. I can guarantee
that's
you that.
That's not true.
He threw it 68 yards, but he was able to run and catch his own pass.
And walk on water at the same time.
He threw it up in the air and then ran and got it. It's like a 30-yard pass.
Yes! How amazing is that? I don't remember doing that all of my childhood.
Hey, hold on. I want to say one more thing about Jameis. The thing about Jameis, really being serious, he seems like a good kid, but all this good stuff just doesn't add up when you see his, you know, when you go by his actions and by his appearance. You know, when you look at Jameis and you see the stuff that he's done, you don't get that I'm a humble, quiet country boy, but I'm secretly.
I blame his parents. There is a lack of parenting. There is a lack of guidance. There is a lack of structure in his life that he has missed because of his parents. And I don't know how it came about or what it came about, if his parents let him be with professionals to get him ready for being the great athlete he is. I don't know what it is, if he grew up with his grandmama. I don't know what it is, but somewhere there is a lack of parental structure in that young man's life, and that's
honestly,
why he's doing
honestly,
what he's doing.
Honestly, yeah, and I mean, Tony, I agree with Tony. Honestly, When I first started seeing his actions and all the shit he was getting in trouble for, I was like, this dude is a thing comes from a single parent household. And then when I learned he had both of his parents, I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And then when
exactly.
I learned he was supposed to be no seriously, and then when I learned he was supposed to be some academic all American, I was like, what the hell? Like I say, it just doesn't add up. When you look at everything, it just doesn't add up. Somewhere something's lying. No, I'm being serious. Somewhere something's lying. Honestly, Cosville, all of it just doesn't add up, bro. Somebody's lying, or somebody's putting on an act somewhere.
I kind of agree with Wiley. There's something issue with the parenting or whatnot. I just think that he came to college. He was immature. He was like, I'm just going to run through as many women as I can and wasn't really thinking about it, like a lot of people in college do.
But, I mean, what about the crab legs? The water balloon fight, the stealing the Coke, is little stuff, but it's shit that adds up. And it's like, okay. Once you know you got the spotlight on, I mean, he took this crab legs thing happened after the rape thing. You figure after he got the rape thing, he's like, okay, let me calm down. But no, then he went and did this.
I'm going to give you the prime example. Chris Leak. I went to school with Chris Leak. Chris Leak was the number one overall college athlete, too. Number one, just like Jameis Winston. When he came in as a freshman, he started as a freshman, not as a redshirt freshman. He started as a freshman. He was number one at the University of Florida. He was one awesome kid. When I say awesome, he was mannerable, respectful, he carried himself right, he went to class, he wasn't out there acting a damn fool. You could tell his parents raised him right and taught him respect and taught him how to carry himself. He said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. He was a good kid, and he's still a good kid. Jameis Winston acts like he was raised by a damn fire hydrant.
I'm not going to lie to you. I think there's a suspect of truth to that. I will agree. Something's not right with the way his parents may have raised him. I like the fact he has a good relationship with his father. I like that. Maybe there's something with his mother, him and his mother, that may be a little off. But, you know, he's
going to
hurt.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The image is just too good to be true for all this other stuff to be going on. That's what lets me believe somewhere. There's a fraud somewhere involved.
Maybe. I don't know. I believe it or not, part of me is beginning to believe you may have a point there. But let me get back to that Chris Leak thing real quick before we go to the next topic. Chris Leak, he did everything right, and he still was scrutinized when he was at Florida. Kind of like a Donovan McNabb, you know what I'm saying?
He was not scrutinized for his academics.
He was scrutinized for who he was at Florida. That's all I got to say right there.
He was not scrutinized. You have never heard anybody scrutinize his public appearance, the way that he handles himself in the media, academics. You have never once
That's not what Clavel's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. Go ahead and say it,
exactly.
Clavel.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say it. You know you want to go ahead.
Right. Donovan McNabb did everything right, Chris Leak did everything right, and they were still scrutinized by the media.
Well, they're black, they're going to be scrutinized.
and that's the point I'm making right there. When Tim Tebow comes, he's elevated. That's all I got to say. But anyway, let me go to the next caller here. You guys hold on.
Chris Leak just got in a promotion.
Yeah, he did. He did. James, you got something to say?
Nah, man, I'm good for now.
All right. Let me put
Shot Town
on.
What's going on? I'm just enjoying listening to our conversation.
Shot Town, I miss you, dog. You got to come back.
I'm back. I'm just listening. Hey, I brought by Jameson Winston. Okay, but I'm enjoying it. I'm just listening to y'all. You know.
All right. Let me put James on then. Hold on. Let me put you on hold. What's up, James? I mean, not James, but David.
No, man, I'm just listening, man. Y'all go ahead. All
right.
David, I got a question for you. Honestly, do you honestly think Jameis Winston is a 4.0 scholar athlete?
No, I don't think that.
Farzell, I don't hear you.
Nobody said he has a 3.5. He had a 4.0 in high school. Nobody said he has a 4.0 scholar athlete in college.
Okay, what is he in college?
Exploratory.
So, hold on.
In the video he said he has a 3.5 now, right? Or
3.4. Yeah. 3.4 GPA. My bad. 3.4 GPA in college. He had a 4.0 or something. He had a 4.0 something in college, though, in high school. That's my bad. He had a 4.0 something in high school.
Okay, then, David, I will resubmit the question. Do you think Jameis Winston is a 3.4 scholar athlete at the University of Florida State?
I mean, I think he is because he's giving him classes in which he can perform at that level.
I might agree with that.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't think he's. Yep. Yeah, but hold on one second. I don't think he's actually taking classes that are going to actually matriculate towards a degree. We know that a lot of athletes, and we see with him being an exploratory major, whatever the hell that is that they're just giving him classes so he can be eligible, which is what they do for a lot of guys. Make sure you keep eligible. Make sure you keep your GPA. So a lot of those GPAs are really fake GPAs. Because it's not like the guy's a finance major or he's an accounting major or something of that nature. They're just keeping him eligible so he can play. So he can have a 4.0 doing that shit, you know, because I've known people that took stuff in college
to where you can be half asleep and get a 4.0 taking that kind of stuff.
Hey, I know people that were asleep at 4.0.
You know, really, who knows which class he could be taking. He could be taking weightlifting, running. Bowling, who knows?
Exactly.
Yeah, they got their heart. Exactly. They got that one class that they got the athletes where they just watch TV and it's like, what a history of TV or something like that.
Dynamic student success. You know that one.
Well, yeah, that's what they do. Yeah, you're right. That's what they do. Like, you don't see too many athletes majoring in like any STEM areas or anything like that. So,
honestly, and the thing about Jameis is, I think a lot of people. I know I am. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I've been burned before by these athletes, so I don't, I don't want to put, honestly, I don't want to seem like I don't want to be a jackass, but I know he's a young kid and I don't want to ruin him, but it's like, dude, it's like, it's time, shape up or ship out, man. I don't want to put my, put my trust in the guy and have him end up doing some Michael Vick type stuff,
Here's my question I'd like to ask the panel, if I could, and I'd like for Clausell to go last. If Jameis Winston were to tie his ankle or break his knee and never get to play college football again and not make the pros, what would Jameis Winston be able to do as a career?
Porno star?
Dave, you're up.
He's going to do something because he won a Heisman Trophy. So the
Wait, David had an answer.
Oh, okay.
What
that's true,
if he doesn't play college football?
Yeah, if he doesn't play college football, what would you see his career being?
At best, because he's going to be connected to a lot of people at Florida State, probably a pharmaceutical rep.
Yeah, something like that. Some sort of rep. They pay those guys a lot of money to like go in and smooth companies and shit like that.
What I'm saying is he won the Heisman Trophy, so they're gonna have to make
and a national championship. So as long as he stays in Tallahassee, he's gonna be set. Remember Dexter Jackson, dude? He used to like damn near run Tallahassee, and he wasn't that successful, so.
So what is he going to do, Clausell?
He's going to be some sort of success because they're going to have to take care of him because he won the Heisman Trophy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, somebody will make him their car salesman or something like that.
Yeah, look what Auburn's doing with Cam Newton. They're trying to make sure this guy gets a degree. Or look what they did with Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson got a degree. And Bo Jackson was not the brightest guy coming out of he's not a bright guy. He's not. So
That's what I heard about a lot of guys from Alabama, Clark, yo.
Well, Bo Jackson is not a bright guy. I mean, I don't think he.
That's what I keep hearing from guys from Alabama. But continue.
Whatever, it's everywhere. Trust me, Keyshawn Johnson wasn't academically eligible. Trust me. But anyway,
USC. That's a big school.
I'm gonna be honest with you.
O.J. Simpson was with him.
If Jameis Winston were to break his leg this year and not be able to play any sport anymore, I don't even see him graduating from college.
I do. They're going to make sure he graduates from college. Now, if he gets like convicted of rape or liable or something like that, they'll dismiss themselves. But if he doesn't, and the Florida State's going to make sure he gets some sort of degree. Look what Texas.
But what I'm saying is, if he loses his academic scholarship because he can't play anymore, and he still has 2 years of actual academic college he has to play or has to do, I don't see him declaring a real major, going to school every day, and graduating from Florida State University. I don't see it.
I do. Because the fact, like I said, because he won a Heisman Trophy, they're gonna have to make sure he gets a degree. That's what I'm trying to get you to see, Wiley.
Is James still on the line?
Yeah, James still on.
Yeah, I want to ask him a question too.
All right.
James, are you on?
Yo.
Okay, you're kind of one of our resident legal experts. I don't know if you heard last week, I don't remember if you remember, we're talking about the if he goes for this civil suit. If do you know that if somebody if they get convicted of a civil suit and they lose it for rape, are they considered a sex offender? Do you know that?
No, I'm not exactly, you know, sure if they're, you know, actually put in as a convicted rapist if it's a civil
suit. No, they are not. They are not considered a because you only get that title when it's a criminal felony or misdemeanor.
Yeah.
By civil, you are not guilty of any criminal thing. It's a civil case. You only get those titles in the criminal realm.
Yeah, because
so technically you can't call O.J. a murderer.
Right. O.J. is not a murderer. He was guilty.
Okay.
He was found guilty. The preponderance of evidence found him guilty civilly, which means he has to pay for it out of his pocket. But criminally, he was innocent.
Yeah, but one of us knows that. Every one of us knows that Jameis Winston is a thief, except Plaza.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, apparently, from last week's show, we had to break down the definition of a thief for Clausell because he didn't know what a thief
was. Yeah, whatever, man. But the thing is, the point is this, man. He's going to get a degree at Florida State University. Now, if he's held liable for rent, then the university is going to toss him to the curb. You know, but if he's not found
that's
liable
what that
for
dude.
Rent,
now, hold on. Now, hold on, Clausell. Last week, you argued tooth and nail when I told you, I said, that man is convicted of, if he's found liable for that rape in a civil suit, you said that you still think he's going to get drafted by the NFL, but you think the college will throw him away?
Yeah, he's going to get drafted. He's going to get drafted by the NFL, yeah, definitely. But
you think the college will be harder on him than the NFL?
Well, yeah, I mean it's from the standpoint of, like, Florida State's not going to want to have anything to do with him anymore. Does USC want to have anything to do with O.J.? Think about that. So that's the point I'm trying to say. They're going to try to the university's going to try to distance themselves from him.
Yeah, but that was liable. Years ago with O.J., but how about
he'll still go to the NFL? He'll still go to the NFL or like you. Reggie Bush is still playing in the NFL.
Well, Reggie Bush wasn't convicted of a crime, Clavel.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if he is found liable for, you know, let's just say hypothetically, if he is. If he's found liable for raping, whatever, yeah, he'll still get drafted. He'll get drafted, but the university, Florida State, will try to distance themselves from him. But if it's not, then he will get a degree from Florida State because Florida State will try to make sure he gets a degree because they're going to want to promote the fact that he won the Heisman Trophy in the future. So they're going to need him to get a degree. They're going to need him as a recruiting tool for future players.
Same thing with Bo Jackson. The prime example is Hernandez right now. He hasn't been convicted of anything, but he has been accused and he has been booked as a murderer, and Florida has already taken down his statues, pulled up all of his things, took all his pictures down. He ain't been convicted of anything.
But that's not the same thing because the thing is, he didn't win a Heisman Trophy or, like...
He won a national championship!
But he didn't win a Heisman Trophy or even, like, with Vince Young, because, like, Texas could have kind of took care of Vince Young a little bit because Vince Young was the quarterback. He was the leader, and he took them to a national championship. So, you know, he left school without a degree, but he came back and got his degree.
Okay,
you know,
but Hernandez, behind Jimmy Graham, Hernandez was one of the top five tight ends in the NFL. He was high profile for the University of Florida, and the Gator Nation loved him. The second he was arrested for murder, they turned their back on him. He ain't been proven guilty or nothing. They literally tore down his statues, pulled up his name out of the concrete, everything.
Yeah, But you can't put Hernandez in the same. You can't compare Hernandez and Winston. Like, when Hernandez was there, everybody was all about Tim Tebow. I mean, it's not the same. You can't compare the two. The same.
It was the team.
Hold on, let me bring
up. Vince Young didn't go back to Texas and get his degree. What are you talking about?
Yeah, he did. He did. He got his degree. Yes, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He has his degree.
When?
Yes, he does.
When?
He got it last year. He got his degree from Texas.
I'm gonna look that up. I think you're making that
look
up.
It up. And he has he owns a restaurant. He owns a restaurant right now in Austin, a steakhouse in Austin.
What does that have to do with his degree from Texas?
he got his. Well, never mind. You don't even want to listen to what I'm saying. He got his degree. He finished his degree, and now he started a business in Austin. Let me bring Eric on, man. Let me bring Eric on.
Okay.
Put you on hold, James. You got something to say, Eric?
Yo, what's going on, fellas? What are we talking about?
Oh, okay. We still talking about Winston, man.
I mean, back to Jameis. I mean, you know, look. I don't know why you guys keep you know, banging on Jameis. Jameis is going to be fine, man. I mean, he's just an immature kid right now, making mistakes, and he's going to be fine once he gets to the next level.
I don't want to hear all of that kid shit. He is not a kid.
He is a young kid. He's still in school.
He is not a kid. He is 19, almost 20 years old. That's a man. He is a man.
He's still young. I mean,
he can be young, but he's a young man. He is not a kid. A kid 10 years old. He is 19, almost 20. 18 is legal age for adults. He is not a kid. He's a man.
He can drink.
I think he might.
You don't have to be a man. I'm a man. I'm 44 years old, and I don't drink.
All I'm saying is that Jameis is getting a bad rap right now. I'm not saying he doesn't bring a lot of this stuff on himself. But, you know, he has a lot of life to still live. And, I mean, and hopefully, you know, I mean, if his parents aren't pointing him into the right direction, then they're doing him a disservice. You know, he needs to be, you know, he needs to be chastised for some of the things that he does. But at the same time, I mean, a lot of things that he does, I mean, obviously you could talk about this rape thing. He wasn't convicted of that. You know, crab legs was something really minor. And, you know, he just needs more time, you know, and time will tell what type of individual he'll be going into the NFL and going into
the only reason it was really minor is because the good old boys in Florida State fixed everything. Had that been my son, it wouldn't have been minor.
Maybe. I mean, that's what status does.
So it's easy to blow it off as not minor because it was Jameis Winston, but had it been anybody else's black child, that would have been a first-degree felony for robbing a grocery store. Don't tell me how minor that is. That ain't minor. Let my child have done it. Be on video tape caught stealing from a grocery store. I bet they wouldn't have called it minor in his case.
He got a ticket for it.
I'm reading
you. He got a ticket for it. It wasn't even a felony.
I just now read from what happened with his thing at Burger King. The story that would happen was they said he came into the Burger King with three men. They said none of them bought any food. They said he started filling up the ketchup containers, the little ketchup cups. He was filling those up with soda, and then Then the employee asked him to stop. Then he asked the employee for a cup of water, and she said, "Are you going to put soda in it?" And he said, "Yes." Then he took the cup and still put soda in it after she told him to stop, and that's why she called.
I'd have heard his ass arrested.
Now, honestly, Clavel, does that not sound like somebody that has issues and it needs to learn how to stop?
It don't sound good. I'll admit to that. It doesn't sound good.
Let me tell you the truth. I thought when I first heard that story, I thought he did like, you know, we've all done it before. We went in there and ordered some food and said, no, we don't want a soda. We just want water. And then maybe put some soda in the water cup.
Yeah.
But right. What he did sounds insane. That sounds like somebody who has issues.
He was told four times to stop, and he kept doing it. Jameis Winston. You don't tell me what the hell to do.
That sounds like somebody has issues. Who would fill up one of them little ketchup things with soda? That's insane. And then you ask for a water cup, and she says, "Are you going to put soda in it?" After she watched you fill the thing, I don't even know why her ass gave him a water cup in the first place. But if she still gave you the cup, and you said, "Yes, I'm going to put soda in it anyway,"
And then you that, get it.
To me, that says arrogance. It says arrogance. He thinks that he is above everybody. That's why he can walk into a grocery store, get those crab legs, and walk out. Because he thinks he's above everybody else. He's above the law. He's Jameis Winston. He's the Heisman Trophy.
I don't want to bring it as far as the Red case because I don't want to put any man down for that. But that right there that I just heard kind of changes my opinion about him even more. Just knowing that he did that, because that lets me, like Tony said, that lets me know that he's pretty arrogant. Besides arrogant, you have to have something wrong with you to do that. That's not normal. I mean, honestly, that sounds crazy. Think about it, dude. That's not, if you saw somebody doing that in the Burger King, would you be like, what, is this dude insane? Seriously, bro. Come on, dude.
Yes, I will concede. I would think that person's crazy.
But I wouldn't
be like, what's wrong with this dude?
He thought he was to that community. Who he thought he was to that community, he thought he could get away with anything he wanted because when anybody came to him, all he had to do was say, I'm Jameis Winston. You know who that is? And then mention his high school or mention, I'm this, and automatic, oh, okay, it's a good thing. You're okay. Go ahead, give him a free cup.
I'm going to be willing to bet that the other men with him were those other two dudes who were just on that school trial for that crap. I'm willing to bet that those are the dudes that were with him.
It's sad.
It seems like it seems like they're a crew of dudes that go around causing trouble.
Think they can do anything they want. Entitled. That's what they are. They think they're entitled.
And I mean, Quavo, like I said,
Matt, what you gotta say, Matt?
Yeah, go ahead. Matt.
I think I got a deeper theory. I've just watched the Under Armour interview with ESPN and Jameis Winston, and the way he talks there is completely different than the way he starts talking at the beginning of his interview on October the 16th when they were talking about Clemson, preparing for Clemson. And even throughout that interview, he talks different. And I haven't really listened to who asked him the question, but I think he may react different and talk in a different tone and use different dialects with different people that address him. So I don't know. I think there are some deeper issues with Jameis Winston, and it may lead to some sort of insecurities. I'm gonna look more into this, but there are some deep-rooted issues with him, and you could tell, again, by the behavior that he had there and some of the other things he's gotten into. He's trying to impress people. He's trying to show off. He's trying to show up. He's talking different in this interview. If he's that highly educated, he probably talks more like he did in the Under Armour interview and less like he does throughout the other interview. I think he's trying to talk and act more like his teammates, i.e. his roommates. They're probably a pretty poor influence on him all around. So I don't know. There could be a lot more to this that nobody's really even seeing. So I'm gonna check out some more of these interviews and look more into it. I see what you're talking about, Matt.
You think he's like dumbing himself down, kind of.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe he's trying to front and
Think what Matt's saying is he's playing the roles. When he around his boys, he wants to be acting ghetto. When he's around professionals, he wants to act more professional.
Mike has a word for that.
Maybe.
Mike has a word for that.
No!
What's that word?
I don't want to use that for a kid, man. I cannot say that Jameis Winston is cooning. I can't say it.
Oh, no.
I have to reserve judgment. If Matt, if you do the research and you can prove it, I might have to put him on the cool train. Other than that,
or maybe he's just nervous, man. He could be just nervous. You never know.
Exactly. So he's going to go ahead and give him them tap dances.
Watch the interview.
Are you?
Watch the interview on October the 16th. He changes the way he talks throughout it. Sometimes it's more of a slang.
Can you post those videos, please? Can you please post those? And if it's true, Claude,
Isn't it true? Didn't he say he got into Stanford, Matt? Did he say that?
Yes, he did say he got into Stanford. He didn't say whether it was on academics or not, but.
Matt, I already know you didn't say that. I knew Claude was lying, so you didn't.
You can't get into Stanford if you don't academically qualify.
That is not true.
Yes, you can, Claude. Title IX, whatever it is, you can get in. You can get into any college under a probationary thing for academics. So, and Clausel knows that. Like I said, he's trying. Like I said, I told you, dude. I can tell when Clausel's lying. I can tell the moment he says it. Like, no, that's not true.
They're not going to accept you if you can't do that. If you can't handle the academic load at Stanford, they're not going to accept you.
Yeah, that's why Marshawn Lynch went to Cal, huh?
Let's keep it real, though. Any athlete in America can handle a load when you have a tutor per class. If you're taking four classes, you have four tutors. Don't tell me that don't happen, because I can name you people that did it.
Yep. Hey, Tony, and like you said about these tutors, when they proctor these tests, is it even insured that these athletes are the ones that the test is getting proctored to?
No. I have brothers, frat brothers, and I have real close friends that were Florida Gators during their national championships. I do not want to hurt their credibility. I do not want anyone to take anything that I say to be misconstrued, but I am telling you that it is very, very easy for these athletes to be able to keep a 3.4 GPA.
Well, that's pretty powerful.
Because what happens is, let me give you an example. You have a test on Friday, right? When you come in to see your tutor on Monday, your tutor's already gone to your teacher and gotten that test that you're supposed to have on Friday. And sometimes, I'm not saying it happens, but sometimes it just so happens that the tutor, instead of giving you information to study for the test, they just give you the test. So then you have a whole week to study the actual test. And the tests are multiple choice. So you don't really even have to study the questions. You just got to study the answers. So you go in there, you know what the answers are, and then guess what? There's a test put in front of you, and you already know all the answers. Did they cheat? No, they didn't cheat. You took the actual test. Did somebody take the test for you? No, nobody took the test for you. You took your own test, and you scored a 98 on that test. But guess what? It's because you've had the test for a week to study.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. I ain't saying that really happens. I'm just saying I've heard certain things.
Now, Clausel, back to your boy. Even in that video that you posted where you say he threw the ball a million yards, but it was only 60.
I didn't say a million yards. I said it was 80 to 90, really. You jumped to 90, but I said it was almost 90 yards. That's what I said. So don't misconstrue what I said. But look at the video. He threw from the end zone. Hold on, let me finish. He threw from the end zone, and it landed all the way over there on the other side, close to the 10-yard line. Close to the 10-yard line.
That wasn't even a real football field. That was some set-up shit at a practice stadium. So that wasn't a real football field.
It was a real football field. It was a practice. It was a football field, but they practiced on the football field.
Pee-wee football, you know.
I mean, goodness.
Okay.
I mean, they practiced on a field.
Hold on,
Claude. I mean, it wasn't a stadium or anything like that. It was a football field.
If he threw from a stadium, where was the goal?
He didn't throw from the stadium. I just told you he didn't throw from a stadium.
Okay,
I said
you said he was in the end zone, right?
And you said he threw it from the end zone,
the
right?
You can say he threw it from the 0 yard line. The 0 yard
okay.
line. Okay. And it landed close to the 10 yard line. So what I'm trying to say is this dude has almost, he has a John Elway type of arm, man. He has a John
okay,
Elway
wait
type
a,
of arm.
Wait a minute.
He's going
stop,
to wow you
stop.
With his arm strength. That's what I'm trying
stop,
to tell you.
Stop.
Yes, he
stop,
is.
Stop, because see now you're about to throw me back into that argument, and I don't want to get into it because he didn't throw that ball anywhere near 90 yards. What I was gonna say is,
over the building? Or did you see him throw the ball over the frat house? Did you see that video?
He only threw the ball 64 yards.
No, did you see him throw the ball over that frat house? Did you see him? Did you see that video?
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
So I'm just saying the dude has a wow arm strength. So don't try to the dude has all the physical.
I want you to notice too what kind of frat house that was too anyway.
I'm putting James back on.
This dude is the best prospect
I've seen in the past 20
did you
years.
Notice,
that's
did,
what I said.
Did you notice,
he's the best
did
prospect
you notice
I've
what,
seen in the past 20 years.
Hold on. Okay, I want to agree with what Matt said because when I was watching that video, I was looking at dude, and the way he was acting, I could have sworn, dude. I was like, is this dude like trying to be cool? I was like, even in the video when he started like dancing with the crowd, I was like, he looks kind of goofy. He looks like a goofy dude trying to dance.
Yeah,
you know, so maybe
fun.
He is.
That's all he was doing. He's just kind of having fun.
No, but I'm saying maybe he is trying to play the role, you know, and maybe that's getting him in trouble.
Or maybe he plays the role. I mean, I can, you know, some guys like to do that. Some guys like to, you know, can be professional and then have fun at the same time. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, having fun and causing trouble.
I can't go that far.
Having fun and causing trouble are two different things. And if I find out that he is playing the role, I'm going to have to give him the seat on the train. I think we all know which train that is. Okay? I just want to let that be known. I'm going to do
but
some more. I'm going to watch.
He threw the ball 90 yards,
watch.
Man. He threw the ball almost
gonna,
90 yards, man.
So, okay, first of all, okay, hold on, Cosmo. Let me disband this argument real quick. If he threw the ball 90 yards, if he was standing in the end zone, where the hell were the goalposts at in that end zone he was standing in? Why was there a bandstand behind him? With people in it. Where was the goalpost at if they were on a football field?
You didn't see the goalpost. There was a goalpost there probably. You didn't see it, though.
So in other words, he was not standing in an end zone then.
He was standing in an end zone. You just didn't see the goalpost.
In an end zone with no goalposts, right?
No, nobody said it didn't have any goalposts. I'm not saying it didn't have any goalposts. You just didn't see it on the video.
No, you could see a bandstand full of people
no,
were directly behind him.
No, it depends what angle the camera's at. That's
no, it doesn't because it showed.
See.
It shows.
Yes,
it showed direct.
Yes, it does.
Before, hold on. Before he threw the ball, he turned around and started dancing with the crowd, and then he threw the ball, so he went directly behind him. There was nothing behind him. There was no goalpost. There was only people. So there
no,
could
I mean,
not, that
point?
Was not an end
Who
zone.
Who cares if there's goalposts or not, to be frankly honest with you? The dude threw the ball from the 0 yard line to the almost the 10 yard line. That's
how do you know it was a 0 yard line? That's what I'm saying. How do you know how far it
was? Look at where his foot was when he let the ball go. He was right
how
at the
do,
zero
there
yard
is no,
line.
There, Clausel, there is
that.
No, there, Clausel, there were no yardage markers on that field, so how do you know
yes,
any of that?
There was yardage markers. There were at least 5 yard markers.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll tell you that. There were at least 5 yard line markers on that field, okay? And when he let the ball go, his foot was at the 0 yard line, and when it landed, it was
quick
close to the 10 yard line.
Quick said 0 yard line. You don't know where.
Come
quick
on, man.
That. You don't know where.
The dude has a cannon. The dude has a live arm, and you know that. So stop trying to act like he doesn't. All right.
You're trying to say that this man threw the ball. I'm telling you. I watch all those games. The farthest I've ever seen a dude throw the damn ball, I believe it was Joe Flacco. And that might have been the farthest I've seen a cat throw the ball. He did not throw as far as no, he was in the one for college, and he only threw the ball like 74 yards. So you mean to tell me Jameis Winston threw the ball 15 yards farther than him?
I think Jameis Winston has a stronger arm than Joe Flacco. I do. I think he has a stronger arm than Cam Newton. I think he has a stronger arm than Cam.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you see him throw the ball? Did you see him throw the ball over that building? Did you see that?
Did you notice what kind of frat
did you see that?
Hold on, Carlton.
Hey,
I want to bring.
You trying to tell me that didn't say nothing right there? You didn't see him throw the ball with
It said a lot, Carlton. Because I want to bring up a point. Did you notice what kind of frat building that was? Who he was friends with? I'm gonna have to give him a seat on the train.
So who cares? I don't care what kind of frat guys he was with. He threw the ball over the building. That's all I care about.
That was not the Capitol House he was hanging out at.
But I'm just saying, he threw it over a 3-story frat house, man. On the other side, come on, man. That dude has an arm. He has a live arm, man. What I'm saying is, when he gets in the league, he'll have one of the strongest arms in the league, if not the strongest arm in the league. If he gets in the league,
I know.
That's just the point I'm trying to make. So
can we be done with Jameis Winston, please?
And then, like I said, and I know Mike and Matt. I know, like I said, you put that arm strength with the accuracy, the pinpoint accuracy that he has, and the big game playability he has. Man, that's a recipe for a superstar. Right there.
Hold a minute. All right. Can we move on from Super Negro?
For all the people listening, Clavel, we had a discussion, and Clavel said that we're talking about how Mel Tucker Jr. was very high on Jameis Winston. And Clavel said that Jameis Winston was like John Elway. I put a picture of Mel Tucker Jr. that Marcus Russell is just like John Elway. And Clavel started going crazy.
I mean, take the number off his chest and put a big N and make him Super Negro. Dang, come on.
I can't wait till you get to the league, man. And you know what? And the sad part about it is, you can't help but not talk about this guy. You gotta talk about him. You can't help it. You gotta talk about this guy because he's that good. He's that charismatic. He's that transcendent of a figure. You can't help but talk about him. What'd you say?
That's bad when we talk about somebody every week. That's not a good thing.
But you can't. And it is a good thing. That's a good thing if you talk about him. That's a good thing for him if you talk about him every week. But it's because we can't help but do it because he's that transcendent of a player. He's going to be that transcendent of a player.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Don't start that transcendent.
No, you didn't. Just call him that transcendent.
All right. I did say that, actually, but we can go to another conversation. I don't care.
Please.
We're going to talk about him next week anyway. I don't care, but keep going.
He needs to take a chill pill. I
just want to
hear about
it. Oh, yeah, I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you there. I agree with you. And believe it or not, the way you told me that Burger King story, that kind of put another red flag in my head about him, too. But I still think he will mature, and I still think he's going to be a superstar in the NFL. He's going to be very highly scrutinized, similar to how Allen Iverson was scrutinized in the NBA.
But let's be honest, Clauzel. Right now, maturity could be simply shutting the hell up. They could literally tell him, look, just keep your mouth shut and stay in the barracks. Just because you don't see him and don't hear him no more does not mean he's matured. How is that maturity?
You do see him. He just put a video out on Insta. What is it? A video of him showing his academic achievements. He ain't shutting up. It'll be something else before the year starts. He's going to say something.
And that goes to show that he still ain't matured.
Exactly.
I guess maturity is relative. I mean, Wiley, people can say you're not mature because you keep interrupting us all the time when we have a point. So that's relative right there. That's relative right there, Wiley. Mature is relative to whoever you are.
Okay, but see, as a college professor, I interrupt because I hear ignorance.
Yeah, and I know 60-year-old professors that ain't mature, in my personal opinion. So it all depends.
Hey,
maturity is relative to the person who you're talking to.
Okay.
No,
I got something for you.
Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
I got something for you.
He's gonna go on a train. Not that train, though. He's gonna go on a train.
Okay. There should be a video for Jameis Winston, the train. I ain't gonna lie to you. We should make a video for Jameis Winston. I ain't gonna lie to you. But the thing is, I'll cut that up. Again.
I'll make that dancing time movie he's doing right there.
The MC Hammer, typewriter, whatever he does.
Whatever it is.
MC Hammer. But the thing is, again, when you couple his physical gifts with the accuracy and the big game play, come on, man. And his transcendent personality.
You need to stop that with that transcendent personality, dude.
Seriously,
please stop.
What personality are you talking about?
Transcendent personality. You can't help but not talk about
that. That is hilarious. Transcendent personality. That's awesome.
Yes, transcendent personality.
You need to put that up on his exam.
And Matt, hold on, Matt. I want to say this too. I know you asked me this last week. He's not going to come in the league and just wreck shop. That's not going to happen. It's going to take some time for him to do that, okay? Give him at least 3 years. But when he gets there, he's going to at least be in the top five quarterbacks in the league. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Peyton Manning. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Tom Brady. I'm just saying he's going to be in the top five quarterbacks in the league.
But you said give him three years. Cam Newton has showed out in his first 4 years.
Man, Sam Newton's not a top five quarterback. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying he's going to lead his team to the playoffs or not. I just said he's going to be a top five quarterback. That's all I said.
Not going to happen.
And that's fine.
I want to play Clausell's rendition of his jocking. I guess we could just call it jocking Jameis Winston. So the music that you hear in NFL films, you know,
I
want to play the NFL films, the orchestra music that's, you know, brilliant stuff. And hearing Clausell talk about Jameis Winston, a transcendent player.
The transcendent personality, come on.
The scandal
was simply allegations. He was never charged. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
He's a transcendent
player.
Hold on, 3.4 GPA.
Even though he steals soda from a fucking ketchup cup out of Burger King.
Did we mention his transcendent personality?
Maybe he's a kleptomaniac. He steals soda. He steals crab legs. He steals sex. I mean,
maybe, the funny thing, he's actually
that's a low blow right there. He steals sex.
He's actually
that's bad, man.
He's more on trending towards sociopath, to be honest with you.
Exactly. I think that's gonna be his college major.
No, honestly, if that's what he did in Burger King, that's very sociopathic right there, dude. You have to have something wrong with you to sit there and tell the person. First of all, trying to fill up a ketchup cup from a soda dispenser, I mean, could you imagine how hard that is because of the soda splashing everywhere and how crazy you'd have to be to sit there and do that? And then to go and get a water – then after the person tells you to stop, you ask them for a water cup, and they go, are you going to put soda in it? And you go, yes. Then you proceed to do it to the point where they have to call the police on you to stop you. I mean, something's wrong with that dude, man.
Stay there and wait for the police to come. Come on now.
Have we heard his side of the story on any of these?
No.
So before we start judging, we have to hear his side of the story.
He's too busy making videos of him throwing over frat houses and making his girlfriend catch out routes than responding to any of these allegations and incidents.
But the question is, why would you even stay in the restaurant? If I had done something like that and they said, we called the cops, me and my boys were running.
Are going to leave, exactly.
So that's what I'm saying.
We ain't gonna sit and wait on the cops to come.
I mean, they act like they're a bunch of white kids. What are they thinking?
I think I
You know you wanted to say black kids. You know you
wanted to. I mean, you gotta be a crazy dude to do that. And you know,
is that what they say?
Maybe he's trying to play the role. I want to look at those interviews, and I want to compare them because if he is trying to play that role, I'm gonna have to give him a seat. So you know, I want to.
The most remarkable difference is the Under Armour. Watch the Under Armour one. Listen to the whole interview. He obviously doesn't get an academic admission, but he does get into Stanford. Listen to the way he talks there. Everything, his dialect, accent, everything. Then watch the one from October 16th before the Clemson game. Listen to it all the way through. It's like 15 minutes, but he even changes his dialect, his accent, the way he pronounces certain words, even different throughout the whole interview. And it seems like it's directed towards different people, but again, I'll have to go back and listen to it. And then I listened to one on December 19th after they won. They were talking about December 19th. That would be after the SEC championship. But
what's the one after the national championship where they talk about how what was the changes you made at halftime? We squonged. I asked them if we were squonged. They said we were squonged, and we said we were squonged, and we were going to be squonged. And after we got be squonged, we were squonged, and we pulled it out because we squonged.
Yeah. I'm gonna research all that.
We strong men.
He's gonna have to get a seat on the train, Clausel. I'm sorry.
We strong.
Play the song.
I think
you know what, man.
You know which train I'm talking about, Clausel. Not
oh,
the cool train. Not the quad city train.
The scrum train, buddy.
I can't wait till this guy gets in the NFL, man. I can't wait till this guy gets in the NFL.
Me neither. I
can't wait, man.
I hope he gets. That's the thing, Carter. Like I said, I just don't want to get burned by this dude. I hope he does become. I hope all this.
I think when he gets to the NFL, you thought Johnny Manziel is going to get a lot of attention? This dude's going to get a whole lot of attention when he gets in the league, trust me.
Negative attention.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be negative attention. But he's going to get a lot of attention.
Well,
let
me ask you this question, Carl. Without Johnny Manziel and all the stuff, all the attention that he got, do you think that the focus would be that big on Jameis? You know, you know what I mean? If Johnny Manziel kind of hadn't brought that, you know, that rock star mentality back to college football, do you think that the focus would be that serious on Jameis?
No. I think Jameis Winston is his own, has brought his own following. I don't think his following has nothing to do with Johnny Manziel.
I agree.
It's his personality. His personality, you gotta watch him on TV. It's his personality.
I absolutely agree because I like Johnny Manziel.
Why do you like Johnny Manziel?
Because I think that boy is awesome. And, you know,
He got in a fight. He was drunk. He got in a fight.
No, I ain't even talking about him off the field. I'm talking about on the field. It was Johnny Manziel that literally carried Texas A&M to those wins. It was Johnny Manziel. That's the difference between him and Jameis. Jameis was not the person who carried FSU to those wins. He is not the person that said, I'm going to put it on my shoulders and do this. Vince Young was that person. Johnny Manziel was that person. Winston was surrounded by talent that helped him do that. He did not do it by himself.
Okay.
So that's why I don't give him the credit. I give Manziel the credit because Manziel carried Texas A&M. Vince Young carried Texas. There are quarterbacks that literally carried their team to their championships, carried their teams to their great victories. Your boy did not carry his team anywhere. If anything, like I said, he was the implant on a good team that made them a great team. They were already a good team before he got there.
Yeah, but they play a lot better when he got there.
It doesn't matter. He didn't take them from nothing and make them something. Vince Young took Texas from nothing and made them national champions. Texas A&M had never crossed the top 10. What?
They were in the Rose Bowl the previous year.
The Rose Bowl is just the winner of the Pac-10. That ain't no. I'm saying really something.
It wasn't like he took him from nothing. It was a good team.
When he came in as a freshman at the University of Texas, who was the University of Texas? Nobody. When was the last time you'd heard of the University of Texas going to the national championship? Not in your lifetime. So he took a team that had not seen anything for a long time and made them national champions. When was the last time you heard anything of Texas A&M before Johnny Manziel became their quarterback? You hadn't heard of Texas A&M. All of a sudden, Johnny Manziel has taken that team and putting it on the map, made it a top 10 NCAA team. Those are the types of things I'm talking about. Florida State was in the top 10 the year before Jameis Winston. Florida State was in the top 10.
Yeah.
Yes, Florida State ended in the top 10 the year Jameis.
Yeah, what was that?
Give me a rundown of Jameis Winston again real quick.
In regards to what? When you compare the accuracy to Armstrong.
Transcendent player.
Transcendent personality. He'll be a superstar. A superstar in the NFL. There ain't no doubt in my mind. He'll be better than Cam Newton.
And Jameis Winston, like, secretly the little cousin.
And then he woke up and realized that he needed to change his sheet.
Serious, are you secretly related to Jameis Winston, Clavel? Because this has to stop.
No, I'm not secretly related to him.
He's the greatest player in the last 20 years. Comparable to the likes of John Elway. Transcendent. He threw a 90-yard bomb in a meaningless competition.
Meaningless?
He threw a 90-yard bomb on a 80-yard field.
He's committed more crimes in one semester than any other college football athlete since O.J. Simpson.
It's alarming. He's still on the streets today.
on the loose.
He's the strongest football player in the NCAA.
Scrippas.
Doesn't care if you call the run, Tallahassee.
Drunk girls don't know they're actually in his apartment.
Watch out now.
That's your boy, Carville.
Hopefully,
the last. Until like week one or something like that, you know, right when they release the preseason All American. But the thing is, I don't think so. I don't think this is the last we've heard of Jameis.
Oh yeah, it's not.
See, because of Jameis Winston, they about to come out with a new country song. Mama, don't let the babies grow up to date black boys.
It needs to be, Mama, don't let your boys grow up to steal crab legs.
Yeah. You know we ain't never gonna let you go. We ain't gonna let you go with Jameis, Clauzel. You may as well just get used to it.
Oh, I know. I'm looking forward to the season.
Like I said, he would have to have such an amazing season to overshadow all that he's already done in this off season. It would literally have to be like I said, it would have to be something epic, dude. You know, he'd have to have like 2,000 yards passing or something like that.
I think
he'd have to announce that he was gay.
Yep, that'd be the next.
I don't know. The Under Armour interview, there was some head movement was going on there. And
okay, hold on,
man.
By the way, this is what bothers me the most. And I said it when Clauzel put the video up on, oh, no, that was a private, well, we had one of our private conversations. But in his video that he's passing with his girlfriend, what is his girlfriend still doing with that dude, man?
She sees them dollar signs. She ain't stupid.
I mean, dude, seriously, you got this tall, fine, brown-skinned sister, and it's like, what? That's what makes it's like, okay, I mean.
Have you heard of
this? Think about it. You got this fine girl. All she's got to do is wait 2 years. Sleep with him. Do whatever he's got to want you to do. Hit your knees. Swallow whatever you got to do for 2 years. He gets that contract and divorces ass for the rest of his life. If you get pregnant, he paying you for 18 years. So he can be a superstar in the NFL for 18 years. Guess what? Half of that coming to you.
I haven't heard her speak yet. When Matt said that gay thing, she sounds kind of manly.
Well, like I said on Facebook, look at her body, dude. If they have a kid, can you imagine their kid is going to be like Hercules?
I think your boy said it best when he said, "I ain't saying she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas."
Well, Clauzel, sorry. So are you saying that she might be a beard?
Oh, no.
Bottom out of it.
So you're saying he's the beard then, basically.
I think they have a relationship, but I think she may be more attracted to women. I don't know.
Well, she's a basketball player, dude. So, you know, she's gonna have a higher testosterone level. So she's gonna probably be like, I mean, she kind of reminded me of Layla Ali from what I've seen of her. You know, that kind of thing. She can do something masculine, but you know, she could probably. I could imagine when she dresses up nice, she probably looks super fine. You know.
Oh, she did. They showed a picture of him and her together at some formal. She looked good.
Oh yeah, she's better than Catherine Webb. She looks better than AJ McCarron's girlfriend.
Just looking at her body when she ran that route, dude. Like I said, you could tell she got the genes in her to where if they have a kid, dude, their kid is gonna be like, I'm telling you, dude, watch out, you know. So, you know, like I say, he needs. It just makes me mad